Welcome to the only show that's all about learning, music, animals, fireworks, water skis, and above all, ice cream, pizza, ninjas, getting stronger, sharks versus bears, and above all, karate! Yeah! Now, why don't you kids help me sing the welcome song? Let me just grab my guitar.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You see, when a man and a woman fall in love, the man puts his p*** in the woman's p***na.
And when the woman has four p*** in her p*** at the same time, then stands over the men and p*** on them, is that part of being in love too? Five midgets spanking a man covered with Thousand Island dressing. Is that making love?
You kiss your mother with that mouth?
That sounds great.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
JK, JK.
Roll another one.
That's stupid.
Just like the other one.
It's a fad, it won't last.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Big, thick.
And I need another.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
This guy parties.
Roll.
Hey, guess what? You just got blazed.
Yeah!
I would have a hard time doing that.
Just pass it around.
I, myself, am a drummer.
I always thought you were a midget.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Your mom busted in and said, "What's that noise?" "Aw, oh, Mom, you're just jealous. It's them."
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning. Has there ever been a better sentence in the English language that has been uttered? Has there anything better been said than, "I myself am a drummer"? Is that the best sentence ever?
I think that's number two.
Number two.
Yeah. Right. Number one.
But I've got herpes in my butt.
That'd probably be number one, and then the drummer thing probably number two. All but right. Yeah, Muggs is definitely
pretty strong.
It is Friday morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Got a lot of stuff today, especially with the Academy Awards this Sunday night. First, I got two stories to get us started with that are both very interesting because they both involve just one person in some way. The first one is Brandon Scott Wolf. I didn't know his name until this week either, but he is a comedian. And he is a writer, and he's written for College Humor, for Funny or Die, written for Saturday Night Live, in fact, contributed jokes there. And now he's got a new website called DateBrandonScottWolf.com. It's a new dating website where he is the only guy on it. So you go to the site, and it says, "Hey, we've all tried OkCupid and eHarmony and Match.com and Tinder and Grindr and Christian Mingle and, you know, every place else that you think you're going to go and you haven't found anyone. Now try this one." And he puts a profile up just like on a regular dating site, except he's the only person on there for the ladies to apply to date, which is kind of brilliant a little bit, I think.
Yeah, why didn't somebody think of that before?
Right. He's 5'9", he weighs 175, his body type is normal. He says his typical Friday night is hanging out. He's just looking for someone to date, someone preferably who will lay on a couch with him wearing pajamas and watching Bob's Burgers. And just goes on and on and on, gets all sorts of information. In case you're wondering how it's working for him, so far he's received about 50 applications from women who are interested in dating him. Now, he is a comedian. So he's concerned that he is just being catfished. He's concerned how many of these are going to end up being real. But who knows? Maybe this is a good idea. He's getting tons of publicity for it. I mean, that's, you know, getting 50. If you're a guy and you have 50 women who email you and apply to, you know, to kind of date you, that's got to be a lot better than you do at most sites on dating sites.
I would think
right?
So.
All right, so that's thing number one. I think that's very clever. Thing number two that involves just one person, our theme here this morning, is a Craigslist ad looking for a roommate that just appeared this week in Los Angeles. The only thing is, the only person who's allowed to apply is Beyonce. That's the only roommate that would be accepted. You know, there's all this talk about Jay-Z and Beyonce moving to Los Angeles, right?
Right.
This person put a listing on Craigslist that goes for this. Two-bedroom apartment with a third room that is shared. The kitchen is also in this room. Functional with a functional bathroom. Seeking roommate who is Beyonce only. There are no fees that apply. Tenant must be an individual, but pets are okay. Queen Bey only may apply. New tenant will be able to take over shared room entirely and make it her own. The other two tenants are working professionals in their mid-60s who will just slip in and out of the door.
Wait, there's two other people that live there that are in their mid-60s?
Yes.
What?
Sounds perfect for Beyonce and her husband and her child, right? Our new tenant will be able to have priority access to bathroom and amenity use. Reminder for applicants, Beyonce only, need apply. But at least she can afford it because the rent is only $1,400 a month, which, you know, from where Beyonce is coming from in New York with her penthouse apartment, this has got to seem pretty cheap for her, right?
How awesome would it be if she actually took him up on this?
It would be.
That would be so cool.
Unbelievable. Even if she just contacted them and said, hey, can you tell me about the light situation? You know, is there a washer dryer? Wouldn't it just be amazing if Beyonce responded to this?
Who drank all the milk except for one gulp and put it back, Jay?
That's the kind of conversation we'll go on.
Well, I have hopes that the first guy will probably get a date. I doubt that the people involved in the Craigslist thing ad are actually going to end up living with Beyonce, but I got to give them some points for effort.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What is going on here? What is happening here?
What is happening is it's Friday, so we have the movie beat.
Mm-hmm.
It's also Oscar weekend. So we're going to talk to Matt Achety from Rotten Tomatoes about the Oscars and get a little bit of a preview of who is expected to win, who should win.
I wonder if Muggs is going to bet on them.
I don't know. Probably. And it's foolproof.
Can. Yeah. It's probably foolproof, yeah.
And speaking of the Oscars, we're going to talk to our friend Jimmy Kimmel about his After the Oscars special, which is his 10th annual.
Yeah, those are great.
It's crazy to imagine he's already done 9 of them.
I think Jimmy's been on the air for maybe 13 years now, by the way.
Yeah.
I think. Which is, this year he'll become the longest running of the late night hosts.
Yeah, that's crazy. We also have Fred Armisen on the program today.
Love Fred.
He's the host of the Independent Spirit Awards. And we have Clark Duke in the studio talking Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Damn.
Which we're very excited about as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Rob is here with the showbiz beat, but first, I understand we have a new... What? What? What are you...
What's first? I'm excited. I'm excited to know what's first.
I hear we have a new moment with.
Oh, yes, we do, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Love to hear it.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Heather Graham. Not Heather Graham at all. Kelsey Grammer. Why would I say Heather Graham?
Why did you say Heather
Graham? With the name Kelsey Grammer is what I'm looking at. That is very strange.
That was a moment with Ralph.
So you just fill in your own celebrities. If you don't like the one that's in the story, just pick another one.
Yeah, I got confused there.
I like it.
It's for sure. Ah, this is the best. This swag bag that they get at the Oscars.
Oh, dear.
Oh, just the free stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't feel bad if your favorite Oscar nominee does not win the big statue, because what they do leave with more than makes up for it.
Every nominee gets it?
Every nominee.
Is that how it works? Okay.
So, say you're up for Best Supporting Actor and you don't walk away with the Oscar. You do walk away with gifts that total $167,000.
Each person?
Yes!
So
that's what you get in a little baggie, your little consolation prize baggie. Thanks for coming out.
$167,000.
You heard me.
So this is because, hey, I've got a watch, and if Benedict Cumberbatch would ever be photographed wearing this watch, it would mean big things for my business. That's what this is all about, right?
I guess, but it's just, a lot of it's just insane. There's no way these people could ever benefit from giving these things to rich, famous people.
Yeah, it seems like a deficit, that's for sure, if you're giving that much stuff away.
Like, you get a trip. It's worth over $12,000 to Tuscany.
Okay.
They don't need a free trip to Tuscany. Let them go to their own goddamn trip to Tuscany if they need a trip to Tuscany. The O-Shot.
What's the O-Shot?
O-Shot.
No bean.
Oh, nope. I'm sorry. Oh, that's O-Face. I'm sorry. Nope.
It is a procedure which rejuvenates and enhances the genital tissues of a woman.
That's in the gift bag?
That's in the gift bag. It's worth $2,700.
Is that like the V-Steam or anything? I mean, do we...
I don't know what the shot is. I'm guessing it's a shot, not a steam.
Okay.
Because it has the word shot?
I'm guessing.
All right.
That's my first indicator. $20,000 gift certificate from Enigma Life.
What is that?
That is a company, Kevin, that will fly out to you and tell you your 2015 horoscope.
Are you kidding
me?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. A $15,000 luxury rail trip through the Canadian Rockies on a train. $16,000 gift certificate for hair restoration surgery using the Artis robotic hair transplant system.
Well, that would be good for Michael Keaton, I guess.
Is everything? $12,500 glamour camping trip from Taravello Tours.
Glamour is not camping.
Surfing, horseback riding, and hot air balloon rides and more. And the list goes on and on and on, including a laser vibrator, which sounds
dangerous. Yeah.
The Afterglow Pulse Wave Vibrator bills itself as the world's only adult toy that utilizes a low-level laser to enhance arousal.
I'm surprised the Academy Awards allowed that one in the gift bag.
Well, 50 Shades of Grey, man. You know how it is.
I guess.
A laser.
So, yeah. Everything. I'm just giving you some of the goodies.
I must have missed
everything totals up to $167,000 in each bag that each nominee gets.
I'm not listening well because I thought you just said
$167,000. I said $167,000!
Per bag, per person.
Pays to be a nominee, man. Sometimes... being a nominee is honor enough, I guess, when you get that. Congratulations to Foo Fighters. They will be headlining UK's Glastonbury Festival this summer. That's a cool event. I was in England last year when it was going on, and I did not get a chance to go, but I wish I had, because it looked like a good time.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Headliners for Saturday and Sunday, as well as the Foos, will be announced soon, but they will be there.
Foo Fighters are a band that could literally just pick anything and go, we'll do that. And everybody's happy to have them.
Yes.
I don't know how many bands are like that now.
Melpon. It's the only one I can think of. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Basketball analyst Charles Barkley celebrates his 52nd birthday today. He used to play as well, I understand.
Oh, that's terrible.
French Stewart is 51. Remember him?
Sure.
From
Third Rock from
Third
the Sun.
Rock from the Sun. Cindy Crawford's 49 years old today. Brian Littrell from the Backstreet Boys turns 40. Comedian Chelsea Peretti from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, 37 years old today. Actress Lauren Ambrose. I love her. She's super talented and super adorable. She was in 6 Feet Under, of course, and Torchwood. She was great in Torchwood, 37 years old today. Miles Teller. You saw him in that drumming movie.
Whiplash.
Yeah. The drumming movie.
The drumming movie. 28 years old today, and singer Rihanna turns 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is
here.
Q, you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6.06.
Timing.
Tokyo, Japan, kids. That's where Fall Out Boy is playing, and that's where we are sending you for K-Rock's World Tour 2015 Destination Number 5. We will get you qualified for that at 9 o'clock this morning when we also give you tickets to see the band at the Hollywood Bowl. And then you're on the standby boarding list for Tokyo. Get the details at krock.com. I saw something on Twitter yesterday or the day before that shocked me. Ralph, I'm glad you're in here. You know how Kevin hates puns?
Oh, yeah. Any kind of wordplay.
Wordplay. Yes, thank you. That's even more descriptive.
Yeah.
He hates wordplay. Now, what are examples of wordplay that drive you crazy, Kevin? Is it the snappy headlines that people come up with for newspaper articles?
That
bugs
me.
The way TV announcers do some sort of a little tie-in to the news story when they do it on TV?
You roll your eyes, right?
All of that bugs
me. Yeah, Kevin doesn't like it when we take a lyric from the song of a performer when we're talking about that performer and use that when we're talking about
them. I'm sort of a dick about it.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're a big dick.
Why do you think it is? I mean, sometimes those things can be very clever, very creative. Why does that bother you so much?
I don't know.
Does me not use words good?
Yeah, maybe.
Me hate other people go better, fine, have good?
I mean, does it seem like corny? Like
it's corny.
Older form of comedy?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I've never really had to put my
wordplay is forever.
Well, I know
well,
you do.
You're the exact opposite end of the spectrum. You guys really are the are diametrically opposed when it comes to their love of wordplay.
Hey, we're giving you your fill this morning.
Hey, Lionel gets a little richier right. every time we play a song.
Maybe it's because I've worked with Bean for so long.
It could be. He's just driven you away from it.
I just hate wordplay, and I'm a dick about it.
So look how often I get thrown into the would you like to take that back file because I've made some sort of wordplay. Okay, so that's the setup to now you know where Kevin is coming from when it comes to wordplay. So I see this tweet a couple of days ago when the news broke that Vanilla Ice had gotten in trouble. Ralph, you talked about it yesterday
yes.
when he was stealing pool supplies and bicycles from an abandoned house next door to where he was working on his reality TV show in Florida, right?
Right.
So here's the tweet from Kevin. Vanilla Ice arrested for burglary in Florida. If he can steal a pool heater, let him have it. So far, so good.
Yeah. Now, because pool heaters are huge.
Right. Big, clumsy items.
If that guy can accomplish that, it's his.
Yeah, I think we understand the tweet, Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So
don't
let's
need to explain
on.
It any longer.
What are we doing next? Movie beat?
So if it had ended there, I would have thought, well, you know, Kevin's making it funny because a pool heater is a difficult item, and that's give the guy, let him have it if he could drag it off the property. But then this happens. Hashtag heist baby.
Oh.
Heist baby.
Yeah. Heist baby.
Yeah. How? But you?
Yeah.
But I don't under. Temp.
I what? Wish you could have. I wish you could have heard the struggle in my head when I was like, "That's pretty funny." But I effing hate that kind of comedy. So.
Well, then how can you like? How can you think it's funny if you hate it?
I don't know. I don't know. So then,
and more
I thought,
importantly, how can you use it? How can you type it and
so
send
then I
it?
Thought. So then I thought, what I'm going to do after that is I'm going to hashtag not proud of that, which I do occasionally because I want people to know that that's not necessarily what I'm proud of. No room, couldn't do it. So then I started looking through the lyrics to try and come up with something better. Stop collaborating. Listen, I'm like, how do I work that into a couch? How do I make that funny?
So this was really a struggle
wow.
for you.
I wish you spent this much time on the show as you do your tweets.
So I couldn't come up with anything better, and I couldn't disclaimer it, so I just put it on there.
So you just let it fly. So the first tweet that you got in response to that was, hey, did Bean hack your Twitter account? So people
yeah.
were already confused because they know you, and yeah. they couldn't figure out why heist baby could possibly have been acceptable to you.
I couldn't think of anything better, which is what disturbs me more. And I couldn't let it go.
Well.
I just couldn't.
I'm looking forward to our new segment. Thanks for that tweet, Kevin.
Thanks for that
tweet, Kevin.
Now,
if he can have a pool heater, just let it happen. Hashtag heist baby.
You know what else was really surprising?
Because heist rhymes with ice.
We don't need you to explain it, Kevin, anymore. It's going to be, thanks for that tweet, Kevin.
Thanks for that tweet, Kevin.
We're going to have to tell you, you don't need to explain the tweet. We
know,
get
I'm just
it.
I'm just doing that to annoy you.
Most of the time, Kevin's tweets are about the Waking Dead or then the Eking Dead.
Right. Yeah.
How many times did you try to spell that one the other day?
In total, four.
Four. Now, what if I had beaten you to the punch?
Oh.
What if I had tweeted heist baby?
I would have hated on you for it.
Yeah.
I would have.
It would have gone right into the thanks for that tweet being.
Yeah, it would have. It would have. I can't deny that. So what you're saying is
Kevin's a dick and a hypocrite. Yeah.
But
I guess we are.
But heist baby.
Wordplay.
I mean, look, I don't like it. But
you did it.
But you couldn't resist it.
I couldn't.
It was
resist.
Too sweet.
and
it felt too good.
And what does that say about me that heist baby is too sweet?
You are not to be trusted. That's what it says. This is that article about soccer you wrote all over again.
So my original opinions are not to be trusted
at all?
You are
not to be trusted. From now on, you will be ignored.
Kevin's a dick and a hypocrite, yeah!
All about the movies today on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Clark Duke. He's one of the stars of Hot Tub Time Machine 2. He'll be joining us later on today. Our friend Fred Armisen stopped by. He's the host of the Independent Spirit Awards, and we'll talk the Academy Awards with Rotten Tomatoes' Matt Atchity coming up just after 7. Speaking of movies, it is Friday. That means Ralph is here, and it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Oh, wow. What a disparate bunch of films this weekend. Just couldn't be more different from each other. That's good. That means something for everybody in the audience,
sure.
Right?
All right.
Kick things off with what looks like the Mean Girls for a New Generation. The Duff is the name of the film, directed by Ari Sandel, Mae Whitman, Bella Thorne, Robbie Amell. Firestorm! He's Firestorm, dude.
Okay.
You don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know he's Firestorm?
No, I don't know Firestorm.
Firestorm!
You can say it as high as you want.
Are you watching The Flash?
I'm probably two behind.
Maybe. Firestorm! Ronnie Raymond?
Caitlin's
boyfriend who got destroyed in the particle accelerator? Hello, is this thing on?
I'm trying to scour my mind. I wish there was something in there.
I'm trying to scour your mind, too. Allison Janney also stars. It's the story of a young lady who is shocked to find out that she has been labeled the Duff by her prettier, more popular friends. Duff standing for the designated ugly fat friend.
Ooh.
Stars Mae Whitman, by the way, who's none of those things.
No, none of those things.
I always love
about
those
that
Hollywood
well.
Moments where you're our fat, ugly friend, and the girl who's playing that is neither fat nor ugly. She's actually kind of sexy and attractive, but I guess she has to be because she finds the meaning of life and true love somewhere along the way as she changes her friends' opinions of her.
All of these movies where the young woman blossoms into a beauty.
Right, she takes always... off her glasses and shakes her hair, and next thing you know, bow, chicka, bow, bow.
And she always looked that good before.
Yes, right.
That's hilarious.
She changes like a sweater, and suddenly now it's like a total makeover in movie world. Here is Mae Whitman talking to her longtime friend Robbie Amell, who is a popular jock at the high school. She's asking him for some help with her love life.
I'm tired of being the approachable one. I want to be the dateable one.
Don't you hate me?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, I do. Here's my offer. I will make sure you pass science if you help me with this.
I mean, you got the easy part. You can pass science in your sleep. I have to reverse duff you. Are you wearing pajamas?
So you'll do it?
Yeah.
Yes.
On one condition. You gotta ask me in monster voice.
Monster voice?
Yeah.
From when we were little?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Sure?
Yes, I couldn't
okay.
even...
Whoa, 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 whoa!
See, she's got the monster voice. Because she has the monster voice. No! Robbie Amell, Firestorm! No! That was Firestorm right there.
Yeah.
He's the cousin to Stephen Amell, by the way.
Oh, he is.
Who's
the arrow.
Who's the arrow.
Yeah. All right.
McFarlane USA also opens up this weekend. Kevin Costner teaches a bunch of small California kids how to transform themselves into a team of athletes who are championship contenders. He works at a small high school largely populated by the children of immigrant farm workers. So these are mostly Latinos. And Mexicans, and they don't have a lot of money for equipment and stuff like that. So what team do they start? Cross country. Run, 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 you bastards, Kevin Costner says. And he turns them into championship contenders. Here's a scene from McFarlane USA where Kevin Costner gives his team an inspirational speech for the big race.
When I went out in the field that day with you Diaz kids, I'll be honest with you, it was the worst day's work I ever had to do in my life. And I said to myself, whatever kind of crappy job I end up in, it'll never be as tough as that. You kids do it every day. And your parents hope they can do it every day. And they'll do it for a lifetime if it means a better life for you. You guys are superhuman. What you endure just to be here, to get a shot at this, the kind of privilege that someone like me takes for granted, there's nothing you can't do with that kind of strength, with that kind of heart. Now go run your race.
Run!
Now go run.
Run! Act Look. Like you're crossing the border and run, you bastards! Kevin Costner says to them.
I don't think he says
film.
That.
He says it.
Have
you know
seen,
he says it.
I don't think
I
so.
I haven't seen it, but I can tell. Look All at right. Costner, that racist bastard. You can see in his eyes.
This movie is in no way for me, but Kevin Costner doing a sports thing is always effective. It always works. He's so good at stuff like that.
Especially when he gets that semi-choked up voice when he talks about stuff. And you guys, when you're out there in the fields and you're picking the lettuce, I couldn't pick the lettuce, but I know you kids pick the lettuce every day.
He's a terrific actor, up, though, isn't he?
He
can be.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
There it is.
That's what I'm talking about. Rob Corddry, Craig Robertson, Clark Duke, Dookie, as he's known to his friends, Adam Scott. It's the old gang back together again, except for that other guy. But this time, they are in the hot tub time machine in an attempt to get back to the past and save one of their own from being in big, big, big trouble. Here's some clips from the trailer of Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Was it morally wrong for me to exploit my knowledge of the future for personal financial gain?
He's calling himself the father of the internet.
I'm the father of the internet. I don't feel like anything bad's gonna happen.
Dude, he's been shot.
We gotta stop the killer before he shoots Lou.
We get blackout drunk, we wake up back in time.
How far back do we go?
2024.
We went 10 years into the future.
You look like a minor Tyler Perry character.
You look like Gandalf the Poor.
I kind of like this.
You look like Billy Zane's...
except not as pretty.
I love these
guys.
This
looks awesome.
Great premise. First one I love. This is the kind of film that really can carry the weight of a sequel, because with a time machine, you can go anywhere and do anything. And I'm looking forward to seeing Hot Tub Time Machine 2. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know... is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Hey, if you have time today, you should tweet at our little friend Chip, who works here at K-Rock. It's at K-Rock Chip, is that right, Chip?
Yes.
Ask her when her new band is playing, because we're very excited about her new band. Unfortunately, it's got a great name that we can't say on the air, but ask her about that. All right. I think you'll enjoy this very much, Kevin. This is the latest in a series that we like to bring you from time to time of ministers around the world telling us how we should live our lives.
Oh, crazy preachers.
And I believe this man, he's Nigerian, Pastor Olagbenga Aladejo, is probably not how his name is pronounced, but that's the best I can do. He is with the Complete in Christ Church. He's in England now, in Peterborough, England, but he is Nigerian. And he has a sermon that is entitled Warning to Married Christian Couples from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Married now, think about Christian that for a couples.
So these are people who are Christians, and these are people who are married, yet they are still screwing up in the Lord's eyes, and they are still doing things in the marital bed, Kevin, that are going to land them in hell.
What?
So this is not another preacher preaching about the gays or the lesbians like Justin Bieber, like the last preacher we featured for you.
Usually crazy preachers are all about gay hate.
Yeah, now he may not be down with the gays, but he doesn't talk about that in this particular speech. So this is the preamble to the tips he's going to give us on how to avoid hell.
I want to share this revelation that the Lord showed me a few months ago, because the Lord want to use it to save the souls of his children who are on their way to hell and are not aware of it.
Okay, now you got my attention right now, because if you're going to tell me how to stay out of hell, I am listening,
you're
Pastor.
On the way already. You just don't know it.
You just don't know it. Exactly right. So he describes just a terrible, terrible thing where you are tortured and whipped and it's pain like you've ever known, and the demons come and they cut your body up into tiny little pieces, and
what?
Then your body comes back together and they cut it up again, and they do it in the most painful and slow way ever. I mean, it is the definition of hell. How do you avoid ending up there? How do you go to heaven instead?
I say, what is happening here? Is that these departments are for the children of God or married couple who masturbates and who perform immorality on their bed.
All right, so now we're getting some details here. So married couples who masturbate, that's enough to send you to the Department of Hell. Or if you're doing other things against the Lord in your marital bed. Well, what kind of things can married people be doing, I wonder?
The Lord told me, he said, look, when I ask my children to get married, and they are married, he said, my children on their matrimonial bed, they commit a lot of immorality.
Immorality, all right.
He said, I should tell them that they are not going to come to heaven. And I started asking, what type of immorality? Number one, he told me, couples who practice a woman on top of a man in relationship when they are on their matrimonial bed.
The matrimonial bed, if the woman is on top of a man, you will go to hell.
What?
Kevin, he knows, man. He heard this from Jesus. He's not making this up, okay? Woman on top equals hell.
That they are not going to make it to heaven. That a woman, I want to repeat this, because this is the warning the Lord gave me to tell everybody so that you will hear it. As I told you, I have not been able to say this for months. Until today, the Lord said I should say it. When you are with your wife, the Lord has made man to be the head.
Okay. The Lord has made the man to be the head. Now, I don't know exactly where that phrase comes from, but it sounds like he's talking about dominant missionary position is what it sounds like to me.
Okay.
You're in charge because you're the man. You need to be on top, according to the pastor.
Not the woman. So those men who enjoy their wife on top of them in their matrimonial bed, The Lord said they are not coming to heaven at all.
Think about that, by the way. If the woman is on top, Kevin, you're not going to heaven.
This guy needs to go back and check with Jesus and make sure that he heard right.
Because that's pretty heavy stuff.
The Lord said, he made man to be the head, and so shall it be. You cannot change that ordinance.
Can't change that.
The Lord told me that, number one. Number two, the Lord told me about those who practice like a dog on their matrimonial bed.
All right. So if you practice like a dog, and I think we all know what we're talking about here on the matrimonial bed.
Wait, dogs practice?
Hell for you too.
Now, let me tell you this. Those who invent evil things, evil sexual practices, the Lord said they are not coming to heaven. The Lord did not create you to behave like a dog on your matrimonial bed with your wife, or like a goat, or like a cow, or like a chicken. Those who do that are not going to make it to heaven. And that is why this warning is coming to everybody today. If you are married and you are practicing hanging with your wife.
Okay, so no masturbating, no woman on top, no sex like a dog, now no hanging. Now, what he's talking about here, I think, is bondage.
Okay,
now, this
wait.
Is very appropriate with the 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon going on
right
now.
Oh, is that why this prompted this, or is this older?
I don't know. No, this is new. This is brand new. But no hanging. Why, no wives
no
and,
hanging.
Wives and husbands, no hanging. And that, to me, my interpretation of that and the interpretation of others, we're talking about tying up and things like that. Again, all of this, a giant no-no in the eyes of the Lord.
You are inventing different styles. Having a relationship with your wife, you are not doing it the natural way, the way God has made it.
There's a natural way to do it, you guys, the way God made it. Don't monkey around with the position that God approves of, is what the pastor is telling us here today.
Since when can we not act like a chicken in bed? That's insane.
It is outrageous, isn't it, Kevin? It's outrageous.
That a man should lie on top of a woman, but you make your wife to lie on top of you?
Yes.
Or you practice different style, doggy ones, goat one, animal one. You change the ordinances of God. This warning is for you to repent. The Lord said, many of my children are coming to hell because of this. Because they changed God's ordinances. They did not practice relationship that God gave you in the right way. They do not have sex in the right way. They do sex with different styles that are contrary to God.
No different styles for your sex, by the way. All right?
Just the one way. For
that's,
life.
That is God approved.
How do you, what did he say about a goat?
Well,
Are you bringing an animal into the bed?
I'm certain that that's not what he meant.
Okay.
I think he's talking about the way animals have sex.
Okay.
So
it's same as
dogs.
Dogs.
Yeah, so
okay.
People shouldn't do that. All right, big close.
And the Lord said, I should tell you, married couple, be careful. Married children of God, be warned. Do not indulge in this lustful desire. Don't go and be hanging your wife.
Don't hang your wife.
Don't go and be hanging your husband.
Or hanging your husband.
Don't, as a woman, let your husband be your head. Don't try and take over. The Lord is not happy with this. It's an immoral practice.
Immoral.
Do not change God's ordinances. Do not change his everlasting covenant. You are a human being. You are not a dog. Don't behave like a dog. Don't behave like a goat. This is the warning of the Lord for you. I pray the Lord himself will open your eyes into this glorious light that your soul will not perish, so that you will make it into the kingdom of God. It shall be well with us all. Thank you very much, and the Lord bless you richly.
Good advice going into the weekend.
That's insane. That's
real?
I think
you made a lot of sense.
That's real? That's insane. We can't hang each other?
No, we can't.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 7.
We'll talk Academy Awards nominations and telecast with our friend Matt Achity from RottenTomatoes.com coming up right after the top of the hour. Actor Clark Duke from Hot Tub Time Machine 2 next hour as well. First, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Clark's here already, man. He's on time.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Early.
And rocking a suit. That's how he rolls.
Yeah.
He must be going to something more important
than us.
You
two and your jorts.
After this, right?
And your freaking tank tops. Your Tommy Bahama shirts. A bunch of lowlifes.
Look.
You look.
It's radio, Ralph. No one cares what we're wearing. No one.
Heist, baby.
That's right, yeah. Man.
Hey, before we get to the showbiz news, how about some tickets to the very special K-Rock screening of Chappie?
Yay!
I am Chappie. I'm also Stephen Hawking. It's in theaters everywhere on March the 6th. However, you, my sweetest of friends, will get to see it on Wednesday, March the 4th at the ArcLight Hollywood. Great place to see a movie. The very special advanced K-Rock screening of Chappie. Stars, of course, Hugh Jackman, Sigourney Weaver, Sharlto Copley. No surprise, since this is directed by his good buddy, Neil Blomkamp. Also, Dev Patel. Great cast. It's a futuristic story about an oppressive mechanized police force when one of those police droids is stolen by the revolutionaries and given new programming so that he becomes more human. He's able to think and feel for himself, and he leads the revolution against our mechanized oppressors. Vive la revolution!
Looks good.
It does look good. Call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First six callers through at that phone number get a pair of passes to see our advanced screening of Chappie. Dustin Diamond says he wasn't invited to the Saved by the Bell reunion on The Tonight Show.
What? Why don't his co-stars want to hang out with him?
Why don't they want to invite Stabby McChristmas Bar to their party? Dustin says he only found out about it from his professional party clown girlfriend. It would have been fun, he said, but I don't see it as a personal insult. Well, you should.
It should have been a personal insult.
They don't like you, and that's why they didn't invite you to the event. I guarantee you, Jimmy Fallon said, and it'd be great, and we'll have Screech come out. And they went,
Not so much.
Do you want me and Kelly Kapowski and Jesse Spano and the rest? Yeah, then no Screech and no Lisa Turtle.
And they probably made the right decision. So,
but feel free to add a big helping of Belding, they said. Didn't they?
I don't think so.
Yeah, Belding was there.
Yeah, he was there. He was on it, yeah.
Does Jay-Z have a secret son? That's what Star Magazine is claiming. A New Jersey woman claims that her son, who's now 21 years old, is the result of a fling she had with Jay-Z back in the early 90s when he was just a drug dealer. It's so funny how the rap world goes, oh, yeah, well, remember when he was a criminal, when he used to have the guns and he was shooting people, and the other guy got shot 9 times and he was dealing drugs? Yeah. Anyway, so their new album. If that was in any other business, you'd never stop talking about it.
Yeah, that's true.
If Brad Pitt used to be an assassin, a hired assassin, they would never stop talking about his criminal past.
That's true.
Jay-Z was a drug dealer.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
50 Cent, you know, got shot 9 times. Anyway, the new record drops this week. It's an aside. It's an asterisk.
Yeah.
Well, back when he was a drug dealer in Jersey, he had a fling with this woman, she claims, and sired a son who's now ready to take over the empire. I did this for you and the empire. I need a son who will step up and become the new leader of the empire. Wait a minute. What about my piece of the empire?
I want to see Ralph's one-man stage production of Fox's Empire.
She is bringing a lawsuit, no surprise.
Why 21 years later? Yeah, where the hell was she for the last 20 years that he's been popular?
Well, she filed a lawsuit back in 2010, but it was dismissed on a technicality. Oh. Murdered judge.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't know.
Sounded like you said murdered judge.
No, that'd be ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
And now a second one has been filed, so we'll have to see if this one gets played out in court or whether this lawsuit goes away as well.
This is interesting. I don't recall too many cases like this where the child in question is already an adult. Yeah. So it's not like there's child support required for him, right?
No.
So what is she going for?
Take over empire.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe he gets a record deal. Maybe that's what she wants.
Cookie, you get out of my office. I built this empire. My sons. My son must rise up and take over empire. And Fish Mooney comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You tell the manager that we will not give him any more body parts.
Gotta have that Gotham Empire crossover. Gotta happen.
Gotta happen.
I'm in.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Basketball analyst Charles Barkley is 52 years old today. Actor French Stewart hasn't never opened his eyes once.
That's
his
true.
Entire career.
That is true. Where's he been, by the way?
He does a lot of theater now.
Oh, does he?
Yeah,
okay.
A lot of theater. 51 years old today. Model Cindy Crawford's 49. Did you see that non-airbrushed photo of Cindy Crawford? Everybody said, oh, look at her. Look at her. See what happens when you don't airbrush the model? I'm like, Damn.
I thought she looked fantastic,
she looked
too.
Good. I like to have me a little slice of that angel cake.
It sounds racist.
That's what I said. Brian Littrell is 40 years old today. Chelsea Peretti, the comedian and also star of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, 37 years old today.
She's great.
Actress Lauren Ambrose is 37. Miles Teller, Whiplash. Also soon to be seen as Mr. Fantastic in the new Fantastic Four. 28 years old today. And Rihanna celebrates her 27th birthday. Popo's out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Those young men from that band Shepherd were here at K-Rock yesterday in the Red Bull Sound Space. Usually, I haven't checked this morning, but usually once a band comes in and performs, it's available for 24 hours afterwards. So I'm just guessing. If you go to KRock.com, you can watch them do their set from yesterday. I heard they were very, very good. All right, it's Academy Award weekend. We always look forward to catching up with our friend Matt Achety. He, of course, is the editor-in-chief of RottenTomatoes.com. That's where you go to find out about all the movies and all the TV shows and what everybody is saying about them. Hey, Matt, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
Before we talk about the Oscars, I just have to ask, one of the worst reviewed movies in the past few months on your site is 50 Shades of Grey. What was your reaction when you came in Monday morning to work and saw that it had made over $200 million around the world?
It's that people are stupid. No, I tell you, my reaction these days on something like that is that movie would have made $300 million if it was any good.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because a lot of movies are really critic-proof.
Yeah,
you want to see a movie, you're going to see a movie. People can badmouth it all they want, but you're still going to go.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, what happens with something like 50 Shades of Grey is that word gets out and people will say, oh, yeah, you know, I went and I read the book and I kind of wanted to see it, but it's not very good. And so you have this secondary audience that could go and see something. And I think a good example of movies like that are The Hunger Games. Like, those are movies that are actually good. And so you get a set of fans that have never read the books.
Right.
The movies are good enough to stand on their own.
So you don't think 50 Shades is going to have much legs because the people, the built-in audience that they already had from the books have already gone to see it, even if they see it a couple times. You don't think a lot of new people are going to be coming to the franchise?
I don't think so. I really doubt it. Now, if there were better movies opening this weekend, it might not even take the number one spot. But I think the movies opening this weekend aren't going to do a ton of box office. So I think it's going to be close between Hot Tub Time Machine 2 and 50 Shades.
Gotcha. All right, let's talk about the Academy Awards. I have award fatigue about this time every year before the Oscars even come because I've already feel like we've had the Directors Guild, we've had the Critics' Choice, and we've had the BAFTAs, and I feel like we've just seen so many of these actors and so many of these speeches. My level of enthusiasm for the Academy Awards is less every year. How are you feeling about it, Matt?
I kind of feel the same way. You know, it used to be up until the time everybody had their own award show that it was the Golden Globes and the Oscars, and that was it.
Uh-huh.
But now you get this parade of shows, and they're all on TV, and it just gets tedious.
Birdman versus Boyhood. I guess that's the big question this weekend. You've given this a lot of thought. What are the pros and cons for each of those movies?
You know, I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Birdman, but I'm not 100% confident on that. Where I think Birdman has the advantage is that it speaks to the guys that make up the Academy, these older guys. And Birdman is a story about a guy who is older and is trying to reinvent himself in his career and reinvent his kind of artistic relevance. And I think that that's going to resonate with a lot of the voters in the Academy the same way that Argo did, the same way that The Artist did. And I think that's where it's going to beat Boyhood. However, there's no denying the achievement of what Richard Linklater did with Boyhood. So I think it's kind of too close to call.
Let me ask you a more general question, then we'll go back to specifics. Does it just seem like it to me, or are these movies lesser hits than any time in history?
You know, that's a tough call. I think that, you know, we did see American Sniper as a Best Picture nominee do really, really big business.
Right.
So, you know, I know that the Academy went to more than five nominees in order to try and bring in some crowd pleasers. I think that's somewhat backfired because you just end up with more art house films. So I think that there is, you know, as we are seeing the movie business kind of fracture into these giant, giant franchise movies versus the very small indie films, I think that what we're going to see is the small indie movies take more of the pie for Best Picture. So it's going to feel like that more and more, to your point.
So does that hurt the ratings?
I think it does.
Okay.
Ultimately, yeah, I think it does. I mean, look, there's not a lot of people. I mean, yes, we all in L.A. have seen Birdman, and we've all seen Boyhood, but I think that in the country as a whole, I think that not a lot of people saw either of those movies. And so even though this is one of the first Oscars in a long time that there's a real race to the finish, I think that people aren't really going to be that invested. You know, it would be different if all the prognosticators were saying American Sniper had a shot at it.
Yeah,
then
right.
Everybody would tune in.
What was your favorite movie of the year, Matt?
My favorite was Whiplash.
Really? Interesting.
The Best Picture nominees. Yeah, I loved Whiplash.
And while we're talking about Whiplash, I mean, J.K. Simmons is as sure a lock as anyone has ever been to win an Oscar, as is Julianne Moore for this weekend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can take both of those to the bank.
Eddie Redmayne, what do you think? Best actor, will he win, or Michael Keaton?
I think it's going to be Eddie Redmayne. That's the performance that's the most physical, although on those lines, I think, you know, I've been saying for weeks, I think Chadwick Boseman got robbed for his performance as James Brown in Get On Up. That he didn't get nominated is shocking to me. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be Eddie Redmayne. But I don't think Keaton's out of it yet.
So there might be a race there as well.
Yeah, I think that one is a little bit of a... You know, Best Actor is a tough call this year because I think there is a race between those two.
Is there such a thing as... I mean, is it legitimate to say, well, they've honored a lot of people who have played real people in the past. Tons of people have won Academy Awards for playing real people. And tons of people have won Academy Awards for playing disabled people throughout the years. Is it fair to paint the Oscars like that? Or is every year a new year?
You know, I think it is fair. You know, the voters aren't voting in a vacuum. And, you know, there is a sense that people, I think when they're voting, they want to make their statement about what's important. And, you know, you could make a case that, you know, although nobody would probably admit it, I think you could make a case that part of the reason that Julianne Moore is a lock is they're looking at her past career and her multiple nominations without a win. So I think that, you know, to your point, they are kind of looking at the past and they are looking at, you know, longer careers, and they are looking at history.
Right, right. This is the voice of our friend Matt Achety on the phone right now. He's the editor-in-chief of Rotten Tomatoes, rottentomatoes.com. Were you outraged, as many were, when the nominations were announced that an apparently older white Academy voting board again this year seemed to, well, first of all the acting nominees are white, but a lot of people were very upset to see how few nominations Selma got. Did you think that was a legitimate complaint?
I think that was a legitimate complaint, although I think that you have to lay the blame to Paramount because they didn't get those screeners out, and I think it's a matter of somebody botching a campaign there. Now, you could make a case that it's a measure of who has the power in Hollywood, because I guarantee you, given the same release dates, if that was a Steven Spielberg movie or a Clint Eastwood movie, the screeners would have gone out, absolutely. But I think that, you know, you look at somebody like Ava DuVernay, who's a great filmmaker, she may not have the pull to insist that Paramount says, okay, we have to get these screeners out. So I hate to be that cynical, but really the reality is, you don't get the DVDs out to the voting body, and they don't bother to go see movies, and it's frustrating.
Why wouldn't they?
Because they're lazy.
Well, I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
They're just not taking their responsibility seriously if they don't take the time over the course of 4 months, whatever it's been, to go see Selma in a theater, right?
Well, and the other problem with Selma, too, part of it is the release date. You know, if Selma had been released in November, that would have given everybody enough time to see it. But that didn't come out in L.A. and New York till Christmas. And so you only got this week to go and see it. And so, you know, it's the holidays. People are busy. They got stuff to do. You know, the DVDs, you get to a point where the DVD screeners that come your way or the online screeners, they kind of affect the rhythm of your life, not to get too philosophical about it. But if you're missing a movie, it can be hard to make that time because it's not just a 2-hour commitment. It's like a 5-hour commitment. You got to find the theater. You got to kind of configure your life around going to see a movie. At the holidays, that's not that easy.
Right. You know, it's funny, just as a movie fan, somebody who obviously isn't part of the voting block here, I wish they would spread these Oscar quality movies throughout the year. I mean, there are a lot of weeks of the year where I don't have anything that's interesting to me, and then along comes November, December, and all of a sudden there's 5 movies a weekend I want to see.
Well, and imagine how lucky we are being able to see these movies in L.A. I mean, imagine the rest of the country where you get garbage all year, right? I like that, too, although part of the challenge is, you know, historically, everybody says that the Academy voters have notoriously short memories, and Whiplash right. is the outlier for as early as it opened to be in Academy Awards nomination. I mean, look at the Lego movie. I think if the Lego movie had opened in November, that probably would have got nominated for Best Animated Film.
All right, we're out of time here, Matt. Neil Patrick Harris, we're all 100% excited and on board for him, right?
Yeah, he's going to be great.
He's going to be great. What are you guys doing for Rotten Tomatoes over the weekend for Oscar coverage?
We are going to be updating the site live. We're going to be live tweeting, and we are going to be at the State Social House updating the site, so if people want to come join us.
What's that all about?
Yeah, we're having a live website update party. at the State Social House on Sunset. So
a live website update party.
Yes, if you want to see the excitement of really, it's an Oscar-watching party, but if you want to see the excitement of watching us update a site, it'll be just like that scene in Swordfish with Hugh Jackman and the wine yelling at the computer screen.
You are such a nerd, Matt. But we love you. Thanks for coming on. Great talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
I think this is going to be fun. You know, we've been doing this radio show, the little Kevin and Bean show for a... Hey, you all right there, Clark?
I got a little bit of a cough. I'm sorry.
I think this is going to be good because we could get Clark Duke's last ever interview, because I feel like he's
going
to die.
Is he going down?
I think this last 7 days, Clark, has really been the nail in your coffin, dude.
Mardi Gras was the start of it.
When it starts with Mardi Gras, how do you have anything left to go on?
Well, you guys are getting what's left.
You were in New Orleans for Mardi Gras?
We were, yeah. Briefly. It was like a 30-hour trip.
I've done that, and it's more insane than you can use words to describe, isn't it?
It's wild. I mean, it's crazy. It's exactly as advertised.
Did you go with your cast from Hot Tub Time Machine 2? Was it a promotional visit?
We did, yeah. They put me, Craig Robinson, and Rob Corddry on a float in the big Bacchus parade.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
boobies?
Awesome.
Boobies?
I saw...
That's a good question, Bean.
I saw about 15 boobs.
15? I'm glad it was an odd number.
It was an odd number.
You know, right. Sometimes you'd have a girl in like a sports bra, she couldn't get off all the way.
I see. All right. All right, so you go to Mardi Gras,
yeah.
And then you fly back, and then you guys what? Do Conan last night?
Conan last night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been pretty nonstop. I mean, they've been having us pound the pavement for this thing.
Was there always going to be a Hot Tub Time Machine too? I mean, did you guys know from the beginning that we're on to something here?
No, I mean, I don't even think it was that sure there would be a Hot Tub One.
I mean, no, right, but after one.
It was a pretty slow, gradual build, I think, from the success that the movie had on video and DVD, I think kind of had more to do with it than anything. Kind of became like a cult hit.
But this is one I would imagine, I'm just guessing here, that it looked like it's so much fun to make and you guys are all so funny. This is one of those sequels that people didn't have to be talked into, right?
Yeah, it sincerely is kind of my favorite thing to make or these movies. It's just, I mean, when you got guys like Rob and Craig and now Adam Scott that you can... They could just riff and go forever. It makes,
right.
makes
Rob
Corddry
has never done something I don't like.
I agree.
I mean, even if he's reading from his checkbook, I go.
I was going to say,
like that guy.
Even in real life,
I like that guy.
He's never
yeah.
done anything.
He's super funny. Yeah. He's super good. He's a good person. I mean, I really like him a lot. And Craig's funny as hell.
Rob is sincerely one of the nicest, like most decent guys I've ever known. Yeah, just this nice family man that makes these horrible. Filthy films.
And TV shows.
And TV shows, yep. Right.
Let's not forget all those people he killed as a clown.
Right,
do you spend, this sounds like a dumb question, but do you spend, in some of these scenes, it seems like you spend a lot of time in a jacuzzi, in a suit.
Yeah.
Is that just miserable?
It is a complete nightmare.
Yeah. Is the water at least warm?
No, goodness, no.
You're in a cold body of water for hours at a time.
It's not exactly cold. It's just like tepid.
And you know Craig Robinson is peeing in it, right?
Oh, yeah. There's no...
But does he tell you that he's peeing in it?
He says he's not peeing, but I mean...
Yeah, he's peeing.
It looks like we're in cream of chicken soup.
There's
know?
No question.
I think about the water in the hot tub, and it really does... It makes me a little queasy.
Yeah, well, it's not a real hot tub. You know, it's just this big contraption they built.
Right.
So...
Is it a container of water with you three guys in it?
Yeah, but it's like two stories tall, and there's all these motors and stuff, because the thing spins, and there's lights and all this stuff underneath. So...
All right, you're making it sound better.
No, but we're
about 2%.
We're in it for like 3 days. We spend about
yeah,
we,
that's
we literally
the worst part.
Like 12 to 14 hour days.
How many clothes change? Do you have to change every?
No, there's no point, man. I mean, like maybe at lunch.
You're just wet.
Yeah, because you know it's like when you're shooting something, you constantly have like small amounts of time to kill. So it's like, okay, you got 15 minutes. It's like, well, that's not really long enough to even like walk wet back to like a trailer. So you just kind of sit there with a robe and shiver.
That sounds like a disaster. Sounds like a recipe for death.
It's like a recipe for like getting a cold.
All right. Yeah. This is the voice of actor Clark Duke here on the Kevin Avine Show. We're talking about Hot Tub Time Machine 2, which I love this, Clark, and I give you all the credit in the world for trying to make this happen. That almost wasn't the title, correct?
Me and Corddry and the writer Josh Shield lobbied really hard for it to be called Hot Tub Time Machine 3, and then the subtitle would be Hot Tub Time Machine 2 Hasn't Happened Yet.
That's brilliant.
Sweet. Yeah.
That
I also personally to anyone that would listen, said we have to put from the guys who brought you Hot Tub Time Machine, Hot Tub Time Machine 2. And it fell on deaf ears.
People just don't listen to you. Why?
Yeah, they don't.
That's ridiculous.
Paramount doesn't care.
You're giving them gold.
What I think.
You've got a long track record of success, though.
Not in naming films, though.
Oh, I guess okay. That's what it is. Yeah. All right. Well, the movie looks hilarious. Hot Tub Time Machine 2 is open everywhere today. Clark Duke is our guest. We'll take a break. Come back more with Clark right after this on K-Rock. He plays Jacob in Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Actor Clark Duke is here on The Kevin and Bean Show. The movie opens everywhere today. Here's a taste of the trailer.
Was it morally wrong for me to exploit my knowledge of the future for personal financial gain?
He's calling himself the father of the Internet.
I'm the father of the Internet. I don't feel like anything bad's gonna happen.
Dude, he's been shot.
We gotta stop the killer before he shoots Lou.
We get blackout drunk, we wake up back in time.
How far back do we go?
2024.
We went 10 years into the future.
You look like a minor Tyler Perry character.
You look like Gandalf the Poor.
I kinda like this.
You look like Billy Zane's.
Except not as pretty.
Clark, what's your favorite part about going into the future?
I like the clothes a lot. The hems were all really short on, like, the suits. My little suit in the movie is like a capri pant, which we filmed in New Orleans, so it was great. It was so hot.
Clark is wearing a suit today, by the way.
Yeah.
We don't get very many guests in suits. I'm a little bit uncomfortable. I feel underdressed for you.
You know, this is just me. This is just kind of how I roll out of bed.
You know, Ralph likes to wear suits, and that doesn't – I don't understand that.
Isn't it constricting?
Like torture chambers to me.
You
like it.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think a suit is one of the more comfortable things you can wear. It's like wearing pajamas.
It's the opposite of wearing pajamas.
No, because it's like a loose piece of cotton. I mean, it's not like a leather suit.
Right, but you have your shirt buttoned.
It's not like an Andrew Dice Clay suit.
But your shirt is buttoned up to your neck, for instance. Doesn't that feel good to take that tie off and open up that suit and breathe a little bit?
It's not choking me. It's not that tight. I don't have it like you know, cinched on that
I'll
tight.
I'll never understand you.
No.
All right. I don't like it. Let's just agree to disagree.
All right. That's fine.
Well, Clark, one of the things that that we found out about you in doing some research is that you are, what, you're 29 years old, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But you live and act like a 70-year-old. You spend a lot of time with NPR. You're on no social media at all.
Uh-huh.
Now, a 29-year-old who doesn't have a Facebook, who isn't on Twitter, who isn't Instagramming, who's not Snapchatting, that's pretty weird.
Who's in a suit.
That's pretty weird. Who's in a suit. Are you – what's going on with you, son?
I don't know. I mean, I got a fax line
and a beeper.
I got my work pager.
I have a fax line.
I mean,
my Palm Pilot.
Is it just something that when it started happening and became a thing, what about it made you go, not for me?
I had Facebook in college when it came out when I was in college. And
right.
I had it then when it was just like localized on your campus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I don't have a great desire to be contacted by strangers.
But how about friends and family?
What about insulted by strangers?
Well, yeah, right. Somebody said that to me the other day. They're like, well, how do strangers insult you if you don't have Twitter?
That's true.
And I'm like, they don't. You got to find me on the street. Tell me how unfunny I am.
A lot of people though like to keep up with their friends and family that way as well.
But I talk to them in real life. That's the thing.
This is what you're That's such insane. A throwback, man. Are you sure you're not here from the past? Are you sure you didn't just get dropped into our studio from 1985 before all this stuff existed?
I would have loved 85. That was the exact correct amount of technology, I think.
85?
Yeah, we had like MS-DOS.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's all you need.
That wasn't good. Yeah. MS-DOS.
Yeah, you could type. That was enough.
You're an oddball, Clark.
I don't think so. I think everybody else is odd. I don't know. I feel like everybody is sort of missing out on living in the moment by trying to. There's this weird fear of like
of missing out.
Yeah, of missing out. Yeah. Well, there's a term for that, right? Isn't that like a thing? FOMO, fear of missing out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I don't know. I just like every show I go to, every concert, every event. Like it's just all the phones up. I held my hand up, and then I realized I was on the radio, and no one can see what I'm doing.
No, I mean I definitely think there's. Look, I think you're absolutely right to point that out because there is a balance between your life online and your life in real life. And I think a lot of times people go too much toward
the digital reality rather than the real life. I agree. But yeah, it's just, it's weird to find somebody 100% living in the world. That's all.
I'm just out there, man. I'm out in the streets.
Interesting.
Talking to the people.
I don't know. I don't recognize you. I don't know who you are.
What do you do for fun when you're not acting?
I don't know, man. I the same stuff everybody else. They like to read, watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
You play video games?
No, not really.
What the hell happened to you? Who hurt you? Who doesn't play video games?
I paint.
You paint?
Now you're making stuff up.
I'm not, I swear.
You paint?
I do, yeah.
Are you
my
good?
Garage. I don't know. I've never shown them to anybody. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Wait. Not even friends or family?
My brother sees him. Okay. He's been living with me, so he's seen
him. And what does your brother say about your painting?
Yeah, he doesn't count, though. I feel like he's going to be kind of dismissive no matter what.
So you don't take the only
person.
He's
my younger brother. He's going to be like, yeah, they're great.
Who've seen your artwork, you're not going to take their word for if it's good or bad.
I mean, maybe I'll have a show. Maybe eventually I'll get him out there.
He'll be the designated guy to sell all that stuff after you die, though. That's basically what's going on with him, right?
He's plotting to kill me.
Exactly.
As we speak.
Do you have a lot of friends, Clark?
Yeah, I got some friends, yeah.
Do you date?
Yeah, every now and then, yeah.
All right.
Sure.
I'm fascinated by this dude.
I mean, you're asking questions like I'm like a space alien.
Well, you're acting like a space alien.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
Because I don't have Twitter?
Well, no, not just Twitter. It's everything put together. Like Facebook or video games or
right.
Are you a sports fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watch a ton of basketball.
There you go.
Oh, now we're talking. Okay, you are a human. You're of the world. Yeah. Who's your team, Cluck Duke?
I like the Memphis Grizzlies a lot.
How come?
I mean, they're
really good, but why Memphis?
I don't know. I'm from Arkansas, and we don't have any home teams.
Right.
We have no pro sports teams. Right. So like. The closest teams to me are like Dallas and Memphis. So I feel like Dallas is sort of also my unofficial like sporting hometown, I feel like, because the Cowboys.
Yeah, don't tell anyone that.
Really?
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, I don't. Okay.
I like the Mavericks a lot, too.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you're in the world then. All right.
Yeah, I'm out there, man.
I accept you. All right. Before we let you go.
I would argue you guys aren't in the world.
Well, that's very possible.
Speaking of Twitter, you're not on it, but you are having a Twitter Q&A today. Tell me about
that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they're going to be really disappointed when I get there. And, I think there's been some sort of scheduling error. And they don't realize I don't have a Twitter.
This is people who are asking questions, just anything about you or just about the movie or what?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know, honestly.
What time and how do people find it?
It'll run the gamut. It'll be you, it'll be the movie, and it'll be hate.
Is there anyone in the other room that knows what time it is?
I don't see anyone in the other room that seems to
just
know.
Well,
they're not
going
to be able to talk to us anyway. So, all right. So do you know what time you're doing it, Clark?
You are a miracle.
Man, I honestly – we've been doing a lot of these, you guys. There's been a lot of press.
Hey,
I'm losing track. I think it's about two, maybe.
Keeping time isn't for Clark, man. He doesn't do clocks, Kevin.
Doesn't do watches, doesn't do clocks.
All right.
I'm that in the moment. I honestly don't know what – the only reason I know what day it is because I know the movie comes out today.
You don't care about 2 p.m. 2 p.m. is for pussies. You're about a quarter to eight. That's what you're about, man.
Yeah.
You're in the moment. All right. Well, the movie looks very, very, very funny. Congratulations on
it. Thank you. It is funny, I promise.
When you see our friends Rob Corddry and Craig Robinson and Thomas Lennon, please tell them we all send our love. And congratulations. And Hot Tub Time Machine 2 is opening up everywhere today. Thank you, Clark Duke.
Thanks for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Speaking of Noel Gallagher, by the way, he's got a new album coming out a week from Tuesday. It's been a long time. Kevin, you'll be happy to know he is appearing on TV doing soccer commentary this weekend.
Yay!
He's a guest pundit doing soccer commentary in the UK on the BBC. That's what he's doing.
I like soccer.
He's got that big Manchester City Newcastle game to talk about, so Noel Gallagher's staying very busy. All right, our friend Jimmy Kimmel next hour, Fred Armisen as well. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
Well, this is going to make Roland very excited. The legendary tricorder from the Star Trek universe could become a reality soon.
What's a tricorder?
Oh, God.
But what is it really?
Tricorder. What are we going to do with you?
Is that
Kevin,
the,
you've seen Star
is that
Trek.
The communicator?
No, you know what that is? That's the
is
communicator.
Is it the laser gun?
You know what the communicator is? The communicator.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You have the laser gun? It's a phaser. It's not even called a laser gun. What's wrong with you? How do you live in the world? And not absorb some of this just through osmosis. Through 40 years, 50 years of Star Trek, how do you pick up just some knowledge?
It's a tricorder.
This isn't some...
Oh, this is the beaming somebody to the planet.
That's a transporter!
This isn't some obscure Guardians of the Galaxy reference that Ralph is making that
no,
nobody's ever heard of.
What is Batman having a third pouch of his utility belt? It's the freaking tricorder.
Star Trek, Kevin. Come on, use your head. You've seen the show.
He's dead, Jim. Jim,
okay. He's dead.
All right, so that's the tricorder.
It's that scientific box thing that you got the shoulder strap for that reads your vitals, and it's a sensor, and it can tell whether you're dying or living or poisoned.
And that's becoming a reality, is what you're saying?
The Scandu Scout is the name of this new device packed with sensors that can give you a complete reading of your vital signs in a matter of seconds. It can capture heart rate, temperature, blood pressure, oxygen level, and a complete ECG reading. It can do it all in 10 seconds.
Wow. That sounds useful.
They just put it on your forehead and it gives them all that information.
I have a phaser.
Oh, sweet Jesus. The device can also provide data about how certain activities, foods, or beverages can affect your vital signs. When you're in the midst of a blood sugar attack or something, boom, just put it right on your forehead and it gives you all the vital information you need right then and there.
That's pretty cool.
So you don't have to waste time going to the ER if there's a real problem. You can tell right then and there if there's a problem. Thanks to the Scandu Scout, a.k.a. the Tricorder.
I'm sad that DeForest Kelly, Dr. McCoy, is not around to hear this good news.
I'm a doctor, Jim. Not a bricklayer. Not an escalator. Not a psychiatrist. Not a mechanic. An engineer. A coal miner.
You think?
Just an old country doctor, Jim.
Jim will learn that by the end of the series.
I'm a physician, damn it! What am I, a moon shuttle conductor?
The crankiest man in show business.
He was.
He was. What about the episode where Spock did a brain surgery on himself? What about that?
What about that one?
How's that a question?
Spock's brain. Best
just
one ever, man.
Just thinking about how awesome that show is, that's all.
Right.
You know, that was the final episode of Star Trek.
It was?
Spock's brain. Hmm. Yeah, final episode. Kim Kardashian, speaking of people who don't have brains. Porn star Kim Kardashian pays a Photoshop expert to touch up her selfies before she posts them online. She's got a full-time staff member who Photoshops her selfies before they go to Instagram and or Twitter.
These photos that she takes of her just casually standing in her living room
are
getting professionally
there,
retouched.
Her just natural state has a full-time staff member that Photoshops them before they reach you, the selfie audience. What do you think he's making?
The Photoshop guy?
Photoshop guy. Photoshop staffer.
Figuring he has to do, what, probably a couple of photos a day?
A couple hundred photos a day.
Oh, I don't know how many she tweets or Instagrams.
She just tweeted 6 while we were having this conversation.
That can't be a high-paying job. I mean, that's part-time.
I'm going to
say that's a $25,000 a year job.
Yeah, that's a fair guess, I think. If it wasn't a $100,000 a
year
job.
Oh, my God, are you kidding me?
That's what that guy's making.
And that's all. That's his only job?
That's what he does.
Wow.
Her ass oiler doesn't even make that.
Imagine what kind of an entourage she has.
Because
she has to be like Mariah Carey, have a person for shoes, right? She's got to have just a shoes person.
Water. Where's the water person?
Right. Multiple wardrobe people, multiple hair people, multiple makeup people.
Wiper. Her wiper. She's got a wiper.
Yeah.
One and two. They're a team.
Separate people?
Yes.
Two
and
two?
Yes.
I don't want to do two.
Anyone that's involved.
I've got all the hard work. Trust me.
In travel.
Got to get the jaws of life out there and going to open up. Got to get yourself a blowtorch and one of those welding helmets.
Yeah. Wow. That's something else. $100,000 of Photoshop.
Nice work if you can get it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. These stars are all born on today, February the 20th. Former NBA star and now basketball analyst Charles Barkley.
Oh, that's terrible right there.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
How's that going to happen? That's terrible.
That's terrible.
He's 52 years old today. French Stewart's 51. Model Cindy Crawford, one of the legendary supermodels, now and forever. Oh, that mole. You know I like to do to that mole?
I'm afraid I do.
Look at it from a respectful distance?
Yes. 49 years old today. Brian Littrell from the Backstreet Boys is 40 years old. Chelsea Peretti, very funny on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She is 37 years old, as is actress Lauren Ambrose from 6 Feet Under and from Torchwood. Miles Teller, 28 years old today, and Rihanna's 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, if you happen to be on one of the local freeways and you see the Portlandia guy trying to change a tire, pull over and help our friend Fred Armisen, would you? Because apparently he just got a flat. Yeah. So he's dealing with that, and then he's going to call us in about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk to Fred about the Saturday Night Live anniversary special last weekend and about him hosting the Independent Spirit Awards coming up this weekend. So Fred on the way, also Jimmy Kimmel talking Oscars. First, though, I think we have a little in-house business that we need to address on air, because there's been quite an active discussion online already this morning about this, but we haven't had the opportunity to address it on air yet, and that is some changes here at the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the best way to describe this? I guess the best way to describe this is that technology has caught up with some of the features on the morning show.
And in all radio, quite honestly.
It has been, yeah. I mean, you know, when we started doing this show, obviously it was, you know, it was pre-internet, and people got their news and information from the radio. And largely that's not the case anymore. And it's, there's been a discussion that has been going on for a long time about how many services that we need to provide on the Kevin and Bean Show, things like traffic, things like news. And I think the conclusion that the company came to is that there are so many other ways to get that kind of information now that we don't really need full-time dedicated people to present that information to the Kevin and Bean Show. And that's why, as of this week, there is no more traffic. And unfortunately, that means our good friend Lisa May is no longer with us on the program. And also that means there is no news. And that means the co-worker Doc is not on the program with us.
Kicking a Doc while he's down, man.
I'm not kicking him when he's down. I'm just saying he's been.
He was our friend.
Doc has been doing news for 27 years on K-Rock, by the way, and that is an end of an era. And he is a brilliant man and was very good at what he did. Lisa May, it goes much, much deeper than that, because we were very, very close friends with Lisa May. I consider her one of my best friends.
She was, and here's the weird thing I'm not sure everybody understands, that she was not a K-Rock employee. She was
traffic service, yeah.
Right.
And we love her.
Yes.
And we're going to stop doing traffic, and so that means that she has to go away. And that sucks.
And this just happened. Yesterday was the first day that Lisa wasn't with us, and or second, I guess. And you know, we haven't addressed it yet. And part of that has been our own feelings, in that it's very difficult for us to discuss this, and very difficult to present it in a way that, you know, is respectful of her, and also lets people know, you know, how sad we are about this. Because I mean, it's a huge loss for us. I mean, Lisa has been with us almost since the very beginning of the show. It's weird for me that she's not here. It's real weird. Plus, she's the only one who was ever nice to me.
Yeah,
that's true. She was the only person who pretended to like you, and it was. It's going to be a change, that's for sure. Obviously, but we're hoping that we can use the time, the little bit of time that we pick up from traffic, and a little bit of time from the top of the hour that we had Doc doing news. We can use that time and maybe bring some new features, or add it to the time that we already spend doing some other stuff where we feel a little bit rushed and have to get through some things. So it's just, it's a shakeup in how we're doing the show, and hopefully it will be for the better in the long run. Obviously, the people that we work with for a long time, we will miss them.
Absolutely.
I think it's a tribute to Lisa that she was always employed by the traffic service, and she became as big a part of our show as she has been.
Right. Yeah. You know, I was thinking, there are very few entertainment institutions that go on unchanged. We mentioned Saturday Night Live a minute ago. Look how often their cast changes. And it's tough for you when you're a fan of a Kristen Wiig or a Fred Armisen or somebody like that who leaves the show, but they bring in new people and the show keeps going on. There's not a TV show on the air that hasn't lost people throughout the years if it's on for any more than 5, 6, 7 years. And we've been on for a lot longer than that. And unfortunately, there are going to be changes in personnel. There was a time when Ralph Garman wasn't on the show. You know, we've had other people come and go. Jimmy Kimmel came and went. Adam Carolla came and went. You know, it's kind of the nature of the beast when a show is on for a long time that people are going to come and go. It doesn't mean we're not still friends with them. It doesn't mean we won't miss them. But we just got to continue to press forward and do the best we can in the future.
And for those who ask, when will Kevin Bean come and go? Sadly, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think
that'll happen sooner than later.
They're going to be a consistent part of the
show. Management might disagree with you on that. Yeah. I think any minute now is a possibility. But anyway, we love you, Lisa, and we will absolutely miss you. And I hope that we can stay friends. And I know I'm speaking for the whole room when I say these words, and I hope that we will, you know, keep in touch. Our next guest spent 12 years on NBC's Saturday Night Live. He's in his second year as the musical director for the band on Seth Meyers' Late Night Show. And, of course, he's in his fifth season on Portlandia on IFC. And you have most recently seen him on the side of the 405 changing a flat tire. Fred Armisen joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. Hey, Fred, how you doing out there, man?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm getting towed into a dealership. Very exciting. I like every. I really do enjoy every LA experience.
What happened? Why couldn't you just have AAA come out, change the tire, and then get on your way? Why do you have to go to a dealer?
Because it's one of those cars where it doesn't have a spare in it. Like it has a run on flat.
Sure.
Run on the flat tire.
See, if you were in New York right now, man, this wouldn't be your problem. This would be the cab driver's problem.
Exactly. But that's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of it. Well, listen, yeah. Fred, we were lucky enough to have you in about a month ago, and we had a great time. And I'm so glad we have you on the phone. And we definitely want to talk about your thing this weekend with the Independent Spirit Awards. But let's spend a couple of minutes talking about last weekend. What was SNL 40 like for you, my friend?
It was like walking into a dream. It was like walking into like all my memories of SNL in person. Because, you know, a lot of those sketches I'd never even seen in person. You know, like
Wayne's
Bobby
World.
And Marty. Yeah, that, Bobby and Marty, which is Will Ferrell and a gas tire.
Right.
Which was amazing. Like, so much stuff that was like, totally, totally, like, I could not believe I was looking at it. And it was really surreal because the thing that makes it so crazy is that it's all at the same time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Dana Carvey right there, Will Ferrell right there, Chevy Chase right there, everyone right in front of me. So it was a dream. It was the whole thing was like, I was a little kid and I designed a fantasy life. No.
I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to accept that you take the fifth if you want. But Eddie Murphy,
was that a disappointment to you, Fred, that he didn't do more on the show?
No, because the fact that he showed up is amazing. I'd never met him before. I got to talk to him and say that I grew up on his cast, you know, like watching his cast, and we're lucky to have him. You know, we're lucky to have he was invited and he came, and then. He hadn't been there in a long time. That's all you can ask. I think it was awesome that he was there. Good for him.
I mean, look, it was great to see him, and he looked great and sounded great. But I think, you know, there was a lot of anticipation, especially since so many of the other older cast members, you know, like Bill Murray and people like that, really showed up to kind of play. It seemed like he was really just there to kind of tip his hat. You can understand why some people were hoping for more anyway.
I don't understand why people are hoping for more, because I feel like we should all feel like, hey, however someone wants to enter is up to them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm invited to a party, you know, there are times where I'm shy.
Right.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay, thanks.
Are you dealing still with the car now?
He's at the dealer.
Oh, yeah. you know, if there are times where sometimes that's what someone wants to do, and in fact, I like that better than, you know, saying too much. Some people do the opposite.
Yeah, maybe gotcha. Maybe my expectations were too high. Like, you know what I mean? Because he had such a huge presence on that show, I thought it was going to be huge.
Yeah, but he showed up.
Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah, and it was great. It was great to see him.
Yeah, and how much would you know, how much would Prince have said? When Prince shows up to
anything,
any music event, he doesn't say a whole lot. And I'm kind of like, you know, good for those people. That's that much less that they, you know, that they get in trouble for, like saying the wrong thing or saying something too bold or whatever. I was happy to meet him. I could not believe I was meeting Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. And by the way, this was the craziest thing, and then we're going to move on to the Independent Spirit Awards this weekend. I don't know that there's ever been a show, Academy Awards included, by the way, with more star power than you had on stage at SNL 40. I mean, every time you looked around, there was a Jack Nicholson, or there was a Kerry Washington, or there was a Christopher Walken. I mean, it really was insane. And I sensed that so much of that just came from the love and respect for Lorne Michaels over the year. What happens to Saturday Night Live when he finally steps down? Do you think it goes on forever?
Hello.
We lost. Did we lose Fred?
Okay. No. I was so sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. This is one of the strangest interviews we've ever done, Fred.
Bean was saying it seemed like a lot of it was love for Lorne Michaels, and if and when Lorne Michaels finally quits, does the show continue on without him, or is that all him?
Oh, I have no idea. I can't think that far ahead. You know what I mean? Like.
Who knows?
So not, it's not even in my realm of, like, you know, how what the show is. It's too complex. You know what I mean?
Understood.
Too complex.
All right, let's talk about this weekend. The one thing I know about award shows is the best ones are held at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday, and that's where you can find the 30th Annual Film Independent Spirit Awards. You're going to be co-hosting along with Kristen Bell. What do you want us to know about the show, Fred?
That it's going to be really fun. It's going to be the kind of thing that we enjoy doing. Kristen is really funny and a great singer, and really great with comedy, and I can't wait to be there. I'm so psyched. I've never hosted anything in my life.
Wow.
And
does it make you nervous that you've never hosted, that this is going to be a new thing?
It's more that I want to do it because I'm like, what is this thing that my friends get to do? You know what I mean? Like, I've seen Andy Samberg do it, and I'm like, what is it? What is this? How do you drive this this kind of you know, event? So I'm really psyched about it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, too. And you got some great presenters. Craig Robinson is going to be there, and Ewan McGregor is going to be there. Scarlett Johansson. A lot of great people are going to be on the show. This is the Independent Spirit Awards. It's funny. You've done so much live, but you've never hosted. Kristen has hosted award shows before, but she didn't even know this thing was live when she agreed to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see both of you dealing with that at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And that's going to be on IFC, right?
That's right.
All right, Fred. Well, listen, have a great time while you're here in Southern California. At least you missed the 1 degree in New York today. I hope you get your car fixed, and I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Okay, thanks so much, you guys.
Thanks, Fred. Do you think that Jimmy Kimmel would approve of what we're doing in the 9 o'clock hour today, Kevin?
Do you think Jimmy would love it,
or would he be repulsed by it?
Oh, he would love it.
Hey, James, how are you, man?
Have I ever been repulsed by anything?
That's true.
Have you heard? I'm sure you heard about it. Gwyneth Paltrow did that blog post on Goop or whatever it was a couple of weeks ago where she talked about the V-steam. Did you hear about that? The vaginal steam that she was recommending for the ladies?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, she was saying that that's part of keeping yourself healthy is you go to this place where they blow steam up you and it's supposed to be good for you. And they also have an alternate version called the A-steam, and you can guess what that is. Well, the people who provide the V-steam...
Isn't that the show Mr. T was on?
It is. As a matter of fact, it is, James.
That's the theme we have, actually.
So the people who provide those services are bringing in one of their devices, and in the 9 o'clock hour, Beer Mug is going to get his butthole steamed.
Well, good. It's about time he got that thing.
Right? So I am horrified by it. I don't want to have any part of it because I'm not as fascinated with poop as the rest of the show is. And I was just wondering, is this something that you'd be, like, excited to see if you were here?
Let's just say you're lucky I'm not in studio because I, too, will be having my B, my V, my A, all of those parts.
Well, that's going to be different. That is coming up at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin Beach Show. How you been, James? What's been going on, man?
I'm good. How you guys doing? How's your back? Everything all right?
I'm okay. Thanks for asking. I appreciate that. Oh, yeah, Jim. I forgot Jimmy was there to help me into the ambulance when I fell off the stage 2 months ago.
You know, if you just had a good ace team, that would
have
happened.
That's true.
I think you're right about that.
It's very possible.
How long have you been doing the little late night show now, James?
I don't even know anymore. This is our 13th year.
Wow.
This special we're doing is the 10th anniversary special.
I heard you say that earlier this week, it's almost impossible to believe, but I guess it just goes by fast when you're in the middle of it, right?
Yeah, but you know, you got to keep it, you have to keep it fresh. We have a new news guy named Doc. I don't know if you know about this.
Oh, that hurts, Jim.
And so, you know, we're making things up.
That really was uncalled for, sir.
Well, you know, I keep getting things steamed, and that's what happens.
Come on, James.
Are you excited about doing an Oscar special every year, or do you just look at it and go, crap, I wish the Oscars weren't on ABC so I didn't have to work on a Sunday night?
I don't know. Hold on. I'm trying to calm myself down from laughing. Okay. let's see. Yes. No, it's a big pain in the ass. It's a huge pain.
It seems like it would be. It's just an extra it's an extra show with a lot more pressure on it.
Yeah, it's funny because it started out, there was nothing on after the Oscars on ABC, and we said, hey, you know, maybe we could have that slot and do something. And they said, oh, we don't know, we don't think so. And finally they gave it to us begrudgingly. And then it grew to become a big thing that people expect year after year. And now it's grown to become a big thing people expect year after year. So it's, we really have you know, you do things and then you're excited about it, and then you realize you have to top it or equal it the next year, and it's
which is in some cases, especially with these after Oscar shows, impossible.
Yeah, and but we do have a good one. We have a really good one this year. Sometimes I want, you know, like we had the I'm effing Ben Affleck video on.
Right. That came on after the Oscars for the first time. That's where that world premiered?
Yeah, and wow. Handsome Men's Club and the movie and, you know, all these videos that have become big. Last year we reenacted famous YouTube videos. We made movies out of them. Like we had Kevin Spacey and Ben Kingsley did Keyboard Cat, and we did David After the Dentist with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
That's right. That was funny.
And Sam Jackson. And so every year we try to do something movie-oriented, and that means you have to get movie stars involved. And
Is your girlfriend Oprah going to be part of this year's show?
Oprah will not be involved in this year's show.
No. You guys have actually become friends, right?
Well, I mean, she's in the guest room right now. If that you indicates a friend, I guess so, yeah.
Let me ask you this, James, and this is the voice of our friend Jimmy Kimmel here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about his After the Oscars special, which is going to be Sunday night at 10 on ABC Channel 7. It used to be that if you were a big movie star, you would show up and you would sit on the couch and you would tell some music anecdotes and you would be done. Do you ever run into resistance from people who just aren't on board with all the viral video nonsense that they're expected to do when they come on these talk shows now?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, there's people that are like, hey, I just need to get in there and get out of there. I have 30 things I have to do today, and that's fine. You know, usually, typically, when somebody comes to the show and does something, not always, but typically, it's because they told us in advance, hey, we'd like to do something.
Okay, and how long ago did you start planning for this type of after Oscar show?
Well, we start the process. I don't know. We really, you know how I am. We settle on things like
yesterday,
3 weeks beforehand. We just booked John Travolta like 3 days ago.
Wait, you announced John Travolta on, what, Wednesday?
Yeah, he had freshly been, really, like moments earlier he booked. So.
I know you've been doing this job for a long time and you're kind of used to it. But it would still kind of freak me out that I was about to hang out with John Travolta. I mean, there are some people that you just grow up with your whole lives, and is it weird for you? Or is it just another day at the office?
You know what? I feel the same way about John Travolta because I had the Welcome Back, Kotter lunchbox. I wanted to be Vinnie Barbarino when I was a kid. I think I was Vinnie Barbarino on your show for many years. And, you know, Grease and all those thing. So there aren't a lot of people about whom I feel that way, but John Travolta definitely is one of them.
Well, that is going to be fun. Hey, speaking of the celebrities, I don't know if you didn't want it to get out, but that picture that one of the Boston's tweeted of your Super Bowl party?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Dickie. Yeah, well, Dickie didn't tweet it. Dickie sent it to his friend who then tweeted it.
Gotcha. Yeah. You're watching the Super Bowl with Ben Affleck and with Matt Damon, right, who are lifelong diehard Patriots fans.
Matt was not invited. He just showed up.
like he do.
Like he do.
So what was it like? You know how painful the Super Bowl was for me, Jimmy. What was their demeanor like as the clock ticked down to 30 seconds and it was obvious to anyone with a brain that the Patriots had blown it and the Seahawks were going to win it at the end at the goal line?
It was grim, but I will say there was very little relaxation throughout the game. First of all, neither Ben nor Matt ever sat down the entire game, including
they stood up the whole time.
They paced.
Okay. Oh, really? Just so jacked for it.
They were nervous. And, you know, I think any sports fan can relate. Sometimes it's more of a relief that your team didn't lose than a celebration. I mean, they were excited, but it was definitely tense for 3 hours and then jubilant for 1 minute.
those YouTube videos that people put up, you saw those super cuts of all the people who were shooting at the end of the game, and just to see the reactions of people, it was hilarious. I mean, that was one of the most emotional things I think I've ever seen on television.
And it's weird because it's completely meaningless. It's all completely meaningless. We root for these teams that are composed of players that aren't even from our town.
Yeah.
And yet we see that uniform and we attach ourselves to them, and I guess it's a it's some sort of primal something, but we are definitely caught up in a lot of nonsense.
I sensed that Bean was crying right then.
Yes,
right at that
Bean
moment.
Is still crying. An hour doesn't go by that it doesn't cross Bean's mind what happened in the final seconds.
Isn't that the interesting thing? I mean, like, there's. I think if any of us died, there's very little chance Bean would cry at the funeral.
That's true. That's true.
Standing there full Android style watching the Seahawks. A tear rolls down his robotic face.
Well, I can't wait to see Doc on the Rock in a suit and all dressed up for the Jimmy Kimmel Live, asked for the Oscar special.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Who else do you have, Jims?
What's that?
Who else do you have?
We have Neil Patrick Harris, Sean Penn. Susan Sarandon, Jeff Bridges, Gary Oldman, Lupita Nyong'o, John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, Gary Oldman, Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis. It's a really good lineup.
But no stars.
Anyone we've heard of?
Well, it looks like it's going to be a great show, Jim. You do a great job every night. And you're doing South by Southwest again this year, too, right?
Yeah, we're going. You guys should come out to that and do the show.
That would be awesome.
I have always wanted to do that. I've never – it scares me because it's so many people. It's so crowded.
It's not that bad.
Really?
It really is. It's not like Mardi Gras or something.
But the music, I mean, God, it's just – I mean, there are 10 bands a night you want to see.
We got 3 weeks.
Okay. We'll throw it together.
All right.
Thanks for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:55.
Although we're all excited about Beer Mug getting his butt steamed.
Yeah.
Coming up in the next half hour. Just let me give a P.S. to the conversation we had about a half an hour ago. We talked about some of the changes in the Kevin and Bean Show. Unfortunately, no more Lisa May. Unfortunately, no more Newsman. No more Doc on the Rock. But a lot of people have been confused, Ralph, because we've had traffic this hour from our friend Nick.
Right.
There. Well, this was the end of the contract. It was through this week.
Right. So, we had obligations to the folks that do traffic for us with some advertising and all these behind-the-scenes things. But we had to do that through the end of the week. And Nick himself was kind enough to say this was the final Kevin and Bean traffic.
Sorry to say, and again, for those who weren't listening, it's really just a function of technology now more than ever. I mean, who doesn't have the Waze app on their phone or is getting traffic from a million different sources? As hard as it is to believe, you know, we've had traffic on the show forever. It's not really what people are looking for from this show anymore.
What are they looking for? Because I feel like we're not giving it to them.
I think you're right about that, Kevin. Right. I think there's a lot of changes still to be coming.
There will be a lot of changes coming. I think
that will make the Kevin and Bean Show better. We all hope.
So. I'm going to be transgendered.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that.
It's very hot right now, Ralph.
It's very hot. It's very popular. We need some attention, so I will be making the transition from male to female. Over the weekend. Yeah. I'll be back as Belinda on Monday.
All I know is we're asking the listeners to give us a chance, and I know many of you have loved the show the way it was before, but
I'm not listening anymore!
Here's our dedication to and our commitment to our craft is that Beer Mug is going to be naked and getting hot air blown up his bum in about 15 minutes on the show. That's the kind of quality program we'll continue to bring you here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm not listening anymore!
Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
For all the folks with the "I'm not listening anymore" emails that I've been getting and mentions, all right, look, do what you gotta do. Thanks for listening this as much as you did. We love you. We appreciate it. Wish you'd stick around and hear what we have in store for the future. But whatever you got to do, man, seriously.
But don't go.
Don't go, ideally. But if you're going to threaten us and say, oh, F you, I'm not listening more. Okay, all right. You know what? Just go away then. You don't have to announce it.
Change is hard. Change is hard for all of us.
You don't have to announce it. But we're still going to do the best damn show we can possibly do. With the amount of effort we're willing to give.
That's an important caveat.
And I appreciate John Herrera wrote this message of support to me. My mom barely understands English, but she loves when you yell Lindsay Lohan. Thanks.
Okay.
You got it. Lindsay Lohan! That's from Mom. I just imagine her sitting in the car somewhere going,
she's puzzled the rest of the time until you say that.
Until we get that out, and then she's happy. A lot of people on the internet upset with me this morning because, you know, DC's made a big announcement yesterday. They released their picture of what Aquaman's going to look like in the new Batman versus Superman.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown, right?
It is, man.
It's crazy how picky people are with you.
Well, I just went nuts. I don't like it. Well, you're old! Die! Well, I just don't like it. And another announcement, DC Comics is doing another TV series. Boy, they're just owning television. Marvel may own the big screen, but DC is kicking ass on the little one. Between Arrow and Flash. Now it looks like Lucifer is coming to television. Fox is doing a pilot for Lucifer.
I don't know Lucifer.
Wait, Lucifer is a comic character? I thought he was just a Bible character.
Well, they borrowed him from the Bible and gave him his own comic book. Lucifer, Lord of Hell, gives up his throne down there in hell and comes up to Earth to help LA PD punish criminals, which I think is mighty nice of him.
Wow. That's pretty decent.
Yeah. You guys watching Constantine? You watching Constantine speaking of the devil and the bad stuff going on?
I don't know what Constantine is.
Oh, Kevin.
I don't know.
How do I help you if you, won't, if you won't meet me halfway? It's been awesome. It's on over on NBC. Constantine, Gotham, just DC, just kicking ass on little screen.
Gotham, I love.
I love Tella Fish Mooney on Gotham. That's one of my favorite characters. You tell the manager that I will be here waiting for you to come back to me.
Standing up. Not done.
Standing up.
Make an offer.
Now do the part where she says, you stay down here with my friends.
That's
right. My outstanding
family will keep you entertained. I'm Fish Mooney. And I run things around here.
Bravo.
Thank
Bravo.
You so much. Foo Fighters headlining Glastonbury Festival this summer. God bless them. They're the best. They Big are. Event happens June 26th through the 28th in Pilton, England. Foos take the main stage for the first night. Headliners for the Saturday and Sunday nights will be announced soon. And the Foos are in New Zealand this week. They're supposed to play a fundraiser in Auckland. But there was an accident, apparently, that wrecked some of the equipment so badly it couldn't be used for the concert, so it had to be canceled.
Wow.
A crew member, they say, was injured in the accident, but he's going to be fine. So it's hard to be a rock star, man.
I guess so. I feel like those guys could play anything.
Yeah. You give them a jug.
Yep.
They can blow into.
I feel like they'd be fine.
All those old washboards with thimbles on their fingers. And yep. They would rock.
They'd bring
out.
It. They yep. would bring it.
And you know what's amazing about Foo Fighters is I sense that Dave and the whole band don't care what stage it is. They are given 100% if they're on at the Roxy yep. or if they're playing 200,000 people at an open-air festival in Europe. I mean, they just enjoy it just as much.
I agree. I asked Beer Mug if he cleaned up before, the steam.
Yeah.
No! Was I supposed to?
I mean, it seems like this would kind of take care of the cleaning up, wouldn't it?
Well, but come on.
I mean,
if there's a place of business, he's gonna, that's a studio we use for things.
Right.
It couldn't hurt.
If there's any grooming that needs to be done.
Right. If you want to just get a little extra spiffy for the big steaming event.
Fantastic. Right. Like when you go in for your colonoscopy, they ask you to fast and to cleanse.
Well, I'm not asking for him to get a barium enema here, but he could just tidy up
a little bit decorum,
before the steam starts to release whatever vapors and fumes are going to be in the studio.
Well, you're setting this up outside, I hope.
No, it's in the next studio.
No, it's in the next studio.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, we're just trying to get the building condemned now.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Charles Barkley, former NBA star and basketball analyst, is 52.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
Excellent question, Charles. French Stewart, who I've found out is working these days. We asked what's he up to. He's on Mom.
Oh,
he's
how about
on
that?
Mom. With Allison Janney and Anna Faris.
Okay. I don't watch that show often enough for as good as it is.
I think it's obvious. None of us do because it's we didn't show. Know French Stewart was working on that show. Sidney Crawford's 49 years old. Brian Luttrell of the Backstreet Boys is 40. Chelsea Peretti, the comedian, also on Brooklyn Nine-Nine is 37. Lauren Ambrose is 37 as well. Miles Teller, you know him from Whiplash, soon to be seen in the Fantastic Four. He's 28 years old. And Rihanna is 27 years old today. A lot of people giving a stick saying we're not giving Rihanna a bell.
Well, because we're
giving her more than a bell. We're
more than
her,
a bell.
We're giving her...
She gets her own sound effect.
The reggaeton horn.
That, but also the bell.
She gets it all. We'll give her everything.
Ring the bell as well, yes.
We'll give her the album of the year.
She
we'll
can
give
have
her the
whatever
Grammy.
She wants.
She should get whatever. I'm going to let you finish. But first, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, this isn't going to be good, right?
No. This is not going on our Hall of Fame reel, I'll tell you that. Let's welcome to the studio, first of all, our friend Beer Mug. Hey, Mugs.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good.
And Nikki from Tikkun Holistic Spa. Did I say that right, Nikki?
Yes.
What is a Tikkun? T-I-K-K-U-N. What's that mean?
Yeah, Tikkun comes from a Hebrew word, Tikkun Olam, which means to heal the world.
Okay.
Tikkun means to heal, repair, correct. And our philosophy is heal yourself, heal the world.
Okay. And where are you guys located?
We're on 1460 4th Street in Santa Monica, and we have another location in Torrance, 24243 Hawthorne Boulevard.
Okay. Now, Kevin and I know nothing about holistic spas. We've never been to anything like that. But I think we found out about you through the news when we started hearing about V-steams and A-steams. Are those things that sound right?
Yes.
Is that the type of thing you guys do?
Yes.
Did you create that?
No, it's actually a treatment that's been around for over 1,500 years. It was originally for the king of China. And he would in the Tang Dynasty, they would take Chinese herbs, and in those days they couldn't control the heat, so he'd have to wear like layers of clothing and sit and have the steam literally just soak through his body.
Okay.
And then Korean women have been doing this treatment for over 500-600 years.
How do we know that it's 1,500 years old? Does that mean that somebody in China was writing about
it? You know what? Actually,
through a picture?
There's actually a movie called The Curse of the Golden Dragon, The Curse of the Golden Flower.
Okay.
And in that movie, it actually shows the king in the Tang Dynasty doing this treatment. So,
is there?
So actually, that's where I was so excited to see that.
Is there more to that movie?
Yeah, it's actually a crazy movie about a Chinese king who's trying to kill his wife using Chinese medicine.
Okay, all right. Now, does he kill her with a V-steam?
No, not with a V-steam.
Okay. So neither of these seem necessary, though. I mean, people can pretty much live in the world and take care of those parts of their bodies without getting a steam. So why is it a thing?
Well, personally, you know, I at 45 wanted to have another baby, mm-hmm. and I just thought that I'm old and this is it. You know, I'm not supposed to be having another baby. And then I had a Korean therapist who told me that there's this treatment from Korea. You put this Chinese steam, you sit on the steam, and the steam actually helps to balance your body. It helps with hormone balancing and blood toning and puts the heat back in your body. And she actually had a baby at 43. So I said, okay. So my husband is a physician. So we, you know, kind of looked at this treatment and said, it's the same Chinese herbs that you can actually drink. Mugwort tea is actually one of the main ingredients.
All right, but hold on for a second. So she tells you that you need to do this with the steam.
Yes.
What was your scientific husband's response to that?
Well, he said that he didn't see that there was anything wrong with this treatment. You know, just, you know, my husband is also very holistic. So, you know, we believe in Eastern medicine.
Okay.
And
Did it work for you, Nikki?
Yeah, I tried the treatment 5 times and then, you know, miraculously, I mean, of course, we had to have sex, and I got pregnant, and it was just from then I just became so passionate about this.
So you think the steam actually rejuvenated your reproductive system?
Yeah, I believe that it helped to release the stress, and it helped with circulation, and it helped with just overall. You know, I did notice that after I did the treatment, my body felt a lot lighter. I could sleep better that night, and I just felt more relaxed.
Is it like going into a steam room or steam bath where you just get? It's just an excessive amount of temperature, and it kind of just feels good to sweat it out. Is that the sensation we're talking about here?
Well, have you ever had a facial?
Or is it like a geyser?
Have you ever had a facial where you put the steam on your face?
I have not, no.
Okay, well, for those who've ever had a facial, it's like getting a facial, but the steam is now pointing in the other side of your body.
Okay. Now, Beer Mug is here with us in studio, and he unfortunately doesn't have a vagina.
Yes.
So we're going for the A steam for him. You explained some of the benefits, Nikki, of getting it done for the ladies, but what's in it for everyone who turns it around?
I'm pretty sure Muggs doesn't want to get pregnant.
Well, one of the benefits for both men and women, it's really good for cleansing, detoxifying. It tonifies your blood. It helps with pulling toxins out of your body. It's great.
Who
for,
needs that more than beer?
No one needs that more than
Mugs. For example, you know, it's great for if you have hemorrhoids. I don't know if you have hemorrhoids. But
yeah, actually,
we don't want to know. We don't want to know. We don't want to know.
But really,
good luck with that.
For those who have hemorrhoids, it will actually decrease the inflammation. And I actually had a client who needed to have hemorrhoid surgery, and I told him to steam before he does a surgery. And then I asked him, so how was your surgery? He said, you know what, it shrunk it. And
He
didn't have to have the surgery. And I have so many other clients that come in just for that issue, and they tell me how much our steam relieves.
That's amazing. Is it widely offered, or is the Tikkun Spa one of the only places it does it?
You know, it's a treatment that if you go to very, very traditional Korean spas, you will see it, but not as fancy as our treatment. I mean, I searched for, you know, the best chair, and I happened to be lucky enough to find this company who has the most unique chair with a timer, and it has infrared therapy, and you can actually control the heat.
Can I control the heat?
Yes.
Please don't let him.
I think most treatments that you'll see, they'll just have like a little wooden box with a hole in it, and this is just like how we started.
That sounds like an outhouse.
Like
a little gas
pot with a, you know, and then they put the herbs in it. And I believe that we're the only spa that does it for men. I think maybe since we've done it, maybe other spas have tried to do it for men. But even in Korea, I asked the maker of our chair, why don't you do this for men? He says, well, you know, this is a beauty treatment for women. I said, well, you know, men are getting so much benefits from it. So I'm hoping to take a traditional Asian treatment and bring it back to Asia for men.
All right, last question, then we're going to take a break and go into the other room and get Beer Mug set up here, Nikki. And that is, you see how hairy the boy is.
Yes.
Is there any possibility he might catch fire?
No.
It's a good question, though.
No, there's no – the only thing that will go up his perineal area is steam. There will be no flames going up there.
What did you call it? His what area?
Perineal area.
Perineal?
Where his anus is. That.
My anus. But, Nikki, I'm a gigantic pussy when it comes to painful things. And the steam worries me. Like, it's going to be hot, obviously. Is it going to be painful?
No. It's in the beginning, you'll say, I don't feel anything. And all of a sudden, you'll sit for a little while, and you'll like, oh, yeah, I feel the heat. And then if it gets really hot, all you have to do is take your gown and just kind of fan yourself.
Okay.
All right. Well, with Kevin controlling the amount of heat, I think you're going to feel it. That's what I think. All right. The Tecon Spa is at teconspa.com, by the way. And you said what? You're in Santa Monica and you're in Torrance. And
yes.
People would generally have to go in to get this treatment done, but you've been kind enough to bring the stuff to us.
Yes.
So we're going to do that with Beer Mug. And A-Steam is happening live next year on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Woo! All right, can you hear me, Kevin?
Yes.
All right, you're in the studio next to the main studio for folks who are just tuning in. Beer Mug is completely naked at this point.
Not yet, but he's about to get naked.
All right, he's getting and he's putting on what immediately to cover up that hideous body?
Some kind of dress.
Yeah, what is that called, Nikki?
The V-steam gown.
The V-steam gown. Because Beer Mug, if you're wondering, he's getting his vagina steamed here this morning.
That's right.
We are with Nikki from the Tecon Holistic Spa, two locations in Santa Monica and Torrance, and this is what they do. Oh, I'm sorry. I got bad information. He's actually getting his butt steamed. So, Kevin, could you please describe what's happening?
I feel like I've made bad life choices.
Why? Because you were the guy who's 2 feet away from a naked beer mug now?
This is no way to run a life.
What's the setup look like, Kevin?
It looks like it's just a chair, sort of like an outhouse, but with nice padding.
Mm-hmm.
Muggs has now taken off his clothes and is wearing what looks like...
I look like a sumo wrestler.
He looks like a sumo wrestler. It comes right up underneath his boobs.
Well, he's a little fat for a sumo wrestler.
It's open in the back, and I guess he's just going to sit down.
Ask Nikki, if you would, what delivers the steam? Does it come up from like the sides of like a bidet would, or is it a hose, or what's going to be working it here?
Hey, Nikki, where does the steam come from? How does it?
There's actually a heater underneath.
Is it forced up?
Yes, it's forced.
Okay.
And the steam comes up.
Can we change the velocity of the force? Because I would like to.
We could put it up to a 10.
Yeah, let's put it up to 10.
Right, Kevin wants it to be like a Selma, Selma, Alabama fire hose.
Am I going to be doing 30 minutes, Nikki?
Well, the regular treatment is 30 minutes.
Regular treatment's 30 minutes. Okay. So I would say Muggs probably needs like an hour and a half, right?
Well, I mean, if the point is to cleanse all of the chemicals out of your body, then I think Muggs is going to need at least 3 hours. I think you'll be on that thing till around noon, I think.
All right, so I'm going to sit down. I'm going to try this out. My anus is exposed.
All right.
See, that's a sentence I don't ever need to hear, ever.
I'm so curious. I'll never do it. I'm curious to know what this feels like.
You
if
will.
It feels good
you'll go to the website later and watch the video and hate yourself for being involved with anything like this.
All right, okay. What are you feeling here, Muggs?
I have that problem. I know. It's warm. It's definitely warm steam going up my bum.
All right.
My feet are actually getting a nice steam sensation too. As I wear the suit, the V steam gown.
Is it a strong sensation?
It's mild right now.
Okay,
but I sense that it's gonna get hotter for some reason because it's already starting to.
Well, Nikki did say that they do ease you into it.
So.
If it's really hot, you can just lift up your skirt.
Nope. If it gets really hot, you can lift up your skirt. That's not the first time he's heard that.
How dare you, Kevin?
Now, Nikki can't hear me, right?
No.
Kevin? All right, ask her. How do I say it? Does a lot come out during the steaming process?
I don't want to ask her. Does a lot come out?
What? Excuse me?
Does a lot come out?
There is a pan there in case something grips.
There is a pan. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. What about, this is what I didn't think about. What about secondhand steam that has touched Muggs and now I'm inhaling? That's horrific, right?
That is a great point. You heard about that super bug at UCLA?
Right.
Imagine what the steam from Beer Mug's butt could do to you.
Now, besides like all the holistic stuff, will this help me become a better interviewer?
Oh, God, no.
No?
It will relax you.
It'll relax you. All right, maybe then.
It's getting hot in here.
So
well, you've already taken off all your clothes.
All.
So, how are the hemorrhoids feeling, Muggs?
Well, I only have one, and it's a mediocre one.
I don't.
I'd rather not. I can't discuss.
Can't really feel that.
I think we leave it here for now and check back in with Mugs and
Monday.
See how he's doing.
Check back in with Mugs at the beginning of the Showbiz Beat and see how he's feeling. He can describe what the sensations have been like. But so far, so good. I think he's getting his A steamed, right?
I could use a magazine or something.
Hey, speaking of getting your A steamed, don't we have some sort of big intro for this bit that we've already been doing for 20 minutes?
In 2015, Beer Mug's crack was sent to a spa to be steamed. His cheeks were promptly spread over a hot butt throne. Today, still steamed by mugwort, his butthole will be energized. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if your butthole feels sluggish, maybe you can get the A-Steam.
Is what is happening right now. Beer Mug is getting it done live here on the Kevin DeBean Show. If you'd like to get the A-Steam yourself, please go to tikkunspa.com. That's T-I-K-K-U-N-spa.com. Nikki, kind enough to come in today. She's the owner of that holistic spa. Two locations, Santa Monica and Torrance. All right, Kevin, before we take a break, anything else going on?
I would just like to say, if you're going to do that, leave us out of it.
Good idea.
I would just like to say that. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Is Beer Mug cooked yet? Do we know?
I feel relaxed.
Really? Are you starting to like it? Because Kevin turned up the heat a little bit before he left the room.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Kevin cranked it up to 10, and if it could have gone to 11.
It was only
11,
at 4.
No, he cranked it up to 10. And Nikki said that's not the way to
do it. Do you want your bee steamed or what?
She said, we don't recommend that.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't know what she's dealing with.
That's correct.
This is not your average beehole you got to work with here. This is like
a thick forest of a beehole.
This is like when they have to sandblast Mount Rushmore every once in a while just to clean the deposits off of the presidents.
Right.
This is what you're dealing
with.
It's
heavy duty here.
It's not that bad.
Does she know what he puts in the other end? Can you only imagine what it takes to clean the other side of him?
I think we were right that it's not going to be like 30 minutes like a normal civilian. I think Muggs has got to be at least 3 hours to really get that thing cleaned out.
I say we leave him for Monday. I think we check it
on
Monday.
For the whole weekend?
See how it's going.
I say we take him to Yellowstone National Park and put him on Old Faithful and just sit him on there and just really get the job done.
It'd be a little quicker.
It would, yes.
All right. So, Muggs, you keep steaming. Ralph is here now for a final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
Amber Rose. I love Amber Rose more than I ever have before. This whole thing.
Because she's with you on the anti-Kardashians?
Taking on Khloe and the rest of the Kardashians and just slapping them down. It's been endlessly entertaining for me this week. But turns out she may have an ulterior motive.
An ulterior motive?
Yeah, some people are speculating that she's got a book that she's going to be releasing later this year, her autobiography.
Ah.
And that some of this is trying to garner buzz, you know, attention for that book in order to get people to read it. I don't think that's the case.
Didn't Khloe sort of
They started it?
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think she did. I think she said something about Kylie Jenner, who's dating Tyga now, who used to be with Blac Chyna, her friend, and they got a child together or something. So she may have started it. But if she's trying to garner attention for a book, it's way too early because it's not coming out till much later in the year. So
It
seems like unlikely, but some people are speculating it.
But this is good for her to raise her profile because outside of a certain community that's into rap and rappers, most people don't know who Amber Rose is. Now her name's becoming pretty well known.
In the book, she'll reportedly come clean about some mistakes she's made in her life, like being a 15-year-old stripper, and about her relationship with Kanye West. Now that's a portion I'd like to read. The autobiography will be called How to Be a Bad Bitch.
Okay.
That's what I was going to call my autobiography. Yeah. Now I got to come up with a brand new title.
Or write your book faster.
That's true.
Those are too often.
Peter, do it.
Speaking of the Kardashian clan, she's got a person on her staff whose full-time job it is just to Photoshop her selfies before she posts them online.
So this is not a phone app that you use, that there are plenty of.
No, she's got a staffer. She takes Photoshop a picture, and then she says, fix this. Make me look
hot
like me, and then send it out on Twitter or Instagram. That person reportedly is earning a salary of $100,000 a year. I've done the math. That works out to a penny a picture for all the photos, all their selfies
that she
sends out every year. So,
do you think that people will buy her book of selfies that's coming out?
You know what? I don't pretend to understand any of the success anymore. I mean, if you had asked me, would anyone download her
virtual shopping app, Kim Kardashian Go Shopping With Me, whatever the hell that thing was called, I would have said, that's ridiculous. Who in a million years?
Yeah. Boo,
whoop, I'll bet people like will. $85 million she earned off of that or something, right?
I mean, it's a book of like 200 pictures of Kim Kardashian.
Look.
I mean, you can't avoid seeing Kim Kardashian even if you don't want to. I can't imagine going out and spending money to see more Kim Kardashian.
I'm with you, but what do you want?
Yeah, I guess.
There's no denying the evidence that her popularity is inexplicable and huge.
It'll sell.
And Dustin Diamond apparently has come forward and said he was not invited to the Saved by the Bell reunion on The Tonight Show. You know, I guessed as much because he wasn't on the Saved by the Bell reunion on The Tonight Show. And had he been invited, I'm sure he would have been there just to get away from the court hearing. Him stabbing people on Christmas in bars in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Dustin said he found out about it from his professional clown girlfriend. It would have been fun, he said, but I don't see it as a personal insult.
What? They invited everyone else in the cast except for you and one other dude,
Lisa,
her girl?
Lisa Turtle was also not invited. They don't care for her either, so I think it may have been a bit of a personal insult.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to get hired for any other acting. This is the only thing that people care about him for is Saved by the Bell. And if they don't even want him, then he's pretty much out of show business.
But he's got a great future as a knifer. Allegedly. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, February the 20th. Charles Barkley. Former Philadelphia 76er. I remember the round mound of rebounds
back
in the day.
Yeah.
Now a basketball analyst. He is 52 years old.
That's terrible.
He's not terrible, Charlie. It's not a bad age. French Stewart from Third Rock from the Sun. Now can be seen on Mom. He's 51 years old today. Cindy Crawford is 49. Brian Littrell from the Backstreet Boy is 40. Chelsea Peretti, the comedian, also star of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, is 37 years old today. Lauren Ambrose from 6 Feet Under and that Torchwood miniseries. She was great on that. 37 as well. Miles Teller from Whiplash and soon to be seen in the Fantastic Four movie. 28. And singer Rihanna is 27. I'm getting a headache from the fumes that are coming out of that studio.
Yeah.
I think Beer Mug's juices are polluting us somehow.
Oh, Beer Mug's juices. We might have to say those words together. Never.
We might have to open up a wall. We might have to open up one of these walls. Get me a sledgehammer. Is this a load-bearing beam? Because this whole wall might have to come down. I'm Let's Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Let's check in with Muggs one more time before we sing that song we all love. Muggs, how's it feeling now? You've had a few more minutes on the pot.
My testicles are a little
warm. All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
You had to go back to them.
All right. We'll check back in with you on Monday, Muggs. Don't move, okay?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You want to see boobs or you don't want to see boobs?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
What?
Just like the other one.
Sorry, kids.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
And I need another hit.
Great piece, my man.
Thank you very much.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I usually do it. Thank you, man.
Nailed it.
Really, I appreciate that, Derek. Thanks, my man. Whew.
My man.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Roll another one.
I don't know, so that's a toss-up.
Just like.
So awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song.
I find that offensive.
Just pass it around.
All right, so I'll put you down as a no.
Some people are just playing
crazy.
I'm afraid I must hand in my notice. I have suffered as much as anyone can expect to suffer in the course of their duties. I can take no more.
Time to call it a day, ladies.
I couldn't agree more.
Yes!
Great. Let's go right now. No time to lose. Don't look. Just run. I'm already out the door.
Get out of my house.
Get into your car.
I'll go.
Check and mate.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I got a heating pad on my face.